Should I switch it on?
Thanks, Chair. I thought I should.
Mr. Chauke is spot on. You know, having to read a number of apologies, you get mixed up as to who should have apologized and who did not. Frankly speaking, we do not have an apology from your department. He is spot on in that regard. We only work on written apologies, nothing else. You want to respond?
Noted, Chair. Thank you very much.
Is that the only response you are giving?
Well, Chair, I've noted the advice and I will relay the concern so that it can be attended to, Chair. My apologies.
Can we take an advice, members, that says you want to comment, Mrs. Stay?
Chairperson, yes. I think a letter needs to be written to all the ministers and the departments that's not here, even rural development and land reform. I know they've got a portfolio, but they could have sent someone. It just shows the total disrespect that people had. Even last year when we started with meetings on this drought thing, you know, I can remember at those first meetings, people were just not here. They just don't care. I think we need to send a strong letter, Chair, to everyone that's not here and telling them that we are not happy with the way they are treating this disaster that hit the country and people, you know, just don't care.
My only comment that I can say is that the executive simply does not take Parliament serious. That's the only comment I can make. Yes, the letter is to be written to all the ministers. The aim is to give effect to the notion of accountability. The executive is not accountable to itself. The executive is accountable here in Parliament. So for the executive simply just to wish meetings of this nature, very important meetings of this nature, as if nothing is happening, and their lives can go on its business as usual. That's not how it is supposed to be. We have our own experience. We have taken a note on that one, and accordingly we shall have to write such letters to all the respective ministers. At most, at least, we should have heard the accounting officers, so that we are able to really give meaning to accountability that we are talking about. We don't want a situation, to give you a typical example, wherein those that are present here cannot take decisions, having to refer and defer decisions. That's what happens in most cases when we do not have accounting officers. So that's the disadvantage that we find ourselves in. So it's not just about being here for sake of being here. It's also being here because you have to take decisions on the spot. Okay, thanks for that observation, members. Let's allow you, Mr. again. Dow, sorry. You can go on.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. As you have correctly pointed out, the presentation by the Department of Cooperative Governance will represent a collection of all inputs on work done by various sectors in responding to the drought situation based on the mandate of the NDMC, which is to coordinate the efforts of all sector departments and other disciplines in dealing with disaster risk management issues. You'll find in the content of the presentation that will cover the work done by agriculture in respect of agricultural drought issues. Not all of it, though, will cover some of the work done by rural development and land reform. Will also cover some of the work done by water and sanitation. And as I said, it will not reflect all the work that they are doing, but just a summative indication of the work that is happening. We, Chairperson, present this report at the time when the country, particularly the summer rainfall areas, have just experienced rains, which the country appreciates. But we still find it necessary that the message on drought risk reduction continues to be taken forward. In that, as we know that the country is a water-scarce country, adaptation to the effect of the changing climate becomes quite key. The layout of the presentation is as depicted here. We'll deal with the purpose as per the request. We'll deal with the approach in dealing with the drought conditions. Will outline interventions, will also outline funding, and go to specific intervention areas such as drilling of boreholes, water tankering. Will also talk to private sector and NGO contributions. Will go to detailed interventions, and also as a measure of accountability indicate what has been the disbursement level and status in terms of the allocated funds, and also reflect on the current situation, Honourable Members, and conclude with key challenges on the coordination and, of course, end with recommendations. As a purpose statement, based on the request, we will provide an update about the drought and water shortage intervention measures that have been put in place and the funds that have been expended. In this slide, this is to restate the point that the chairperson has mentioned, that the NDMC and the COCTA coordinates the sectors on disaster risk management issues, including in responding to the drought situation through the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee. And these are the departments that were part of that, or are part of that coordinating committee. In this slide, we also clarify that the heads of provincial disaster management centers also participate in those meetings once a month in order to ensure an integrated and coordinated response to the drought situation. The approach that has been taken, Chair and members, is that reprioritization of funds within existing programs by departments and municipalities was undertaken. And also the availing of this resulted with the availing of resources from the equitable share, where some provincial departments reprioritized within their funding. There has been collaboration between various sectors to ensure that there's no duplication and we maximize the impact using the resources at our disposal. As stated already, the involvement and contribution of the private sector and non-governmental organization also assisted in the process. Measures to ensure mitigation of the impact, such as water management measures, were also imposed. There was also technical support to municipalities in addressing the challenges, because when you look at most of the reports on the impact of drought, you realize that the challenge with operation and maintenance of infrastructure does come into the picture in terms of aggravating the situation. So the key interventions as summarized in this slide, members, is that with regard to Department of Cooperative Governance, we coordinated water infrastructure measures. We also coordinated technical support to municipalities using the MISA Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent and also the Back to Basics approach. Water and sanitation, water infrastructure in terms of boreholes, water tankering or cutting, technical support to water services authorities. From the side of DAF, the provision of livestock feed, water-related infrastructure, and all those measures assisted there. From the side of rural development, livestock feed, water infrastructure, fire breaks, auction facilities, field management, and support to sugarcane farmers in KZN. From the side of the South African Weather Service, the continual provision of weather information and the tips that need to be, which need to be observed in order to ensure that the effect of the drought does not become severe. And of course, dissemination of this information. Environmental affairs, all those programs that promote adaptation, such as your environmental programs, the working for the working on fire, working for water, and of course the fire breaks and block bans to ensure that the risk of fires is also reduced. Department of Health, increased health promotion, increased disease surveillance, and risk communication, hospital management, and primary health care measures. The South African National Defense Force measures that were implemented were emergency response in terms of water cutting and firefighting measures. We are also aware that IDC and Land Bank made contributions, and this is in the form of financial assistance to farmers in terms of soft loans and other measures. There has also been a contribution from private sector and donors in terms of water donation, drilling and equipping of boreholes, and water tankering. Funding allocation as expanded by various departments is captured in this slide, Chair and Honourable Members.
Chairperson, before we go into that, could I just get something clarified quickly?
Mm-hmm.
On this same slide, it says 2015-16 to be verified, 2016-17, including requests. I want factual amounts. You know, if you tell me you haven't verified it, I don't know whether you've spent it. If you say it's including requests, I still don't know whether it's been spent. And you can go on to the next pages. You would say it's ongoing. What is the date of this document? When was this document drawn up? And how can we trust the figures they give us here if it's still not been verified and it includes requests? Please, Chair, let's just deal with this matter before we go on.
Can we avoid, chances are if we take the route we are taking now, we are never going to finish. We have two, if not three, more submissions. What also I would have appreciated is that we also allow all of those submissions to be taken through. Otherwise, we might just have to be preempting the work to be submitted by another department. What I would want us to do, let's take notes. The issues are valid. I would imagine, I see Mr. Chauka's hand as well. We can go on like that, if you understand what I'm talking about. I understand your point. Your point is valid. You are listening to the issues, Mr. Tau. Going forward, if you can also just respond, not respond necessarily, but also talk to those issues. Without us being given a framework per se, without us being given, you know, a broad picture per se. Reason why we are coming here as well, it is also to get to be appraised by government on work that government is doing. And when we want that work appraisal, we also need to be very specific so that we don't talk in generalities. I think this also is to be a message to a number of others that are still to come before us, so that we don't generalize, we speak with specifics. Point again, I would have made an issue also when you raise a matter that talks about reprioritization of resources. I would be very keen to listen to the specifics in that regard. What budget at the end did we talk about? So that those were the kinds of specifics. This is also a message I repeat for Department of Agriculture, Foreign Fisheries, also Water and Sanitation, and then of course also for the National Treasury, as it comes before us, also to speak to these matters. It's a pity that they are not here. Of course, the message has been received that they are busy with the public hearings. Thanks, Mr. Tong. Thanks, Mr. Boson.
Chair, maybe with respect, Chair, that the point raised by Honorable Boson, it needs a direct response. As we are going through this document, and what we are picking up, it seems that this document was long prepared, not for updating the portfolio committee. It seems to, maybe if you can clarify how this document was then prepared. Is it meant, was it prepared to present to the portfolio committee? Because definitely, as you deal with issues that are raised in the document, some of them are still pending or what. So maybe if you can just clarify that part. It's current information that we are giving to the committee. I think that's the only point, Chair. Other than that, we can just proceed. I don't have a problem.
Okay. The simple point being raised here by members of parliament is that are we not dealing with a cut and paste?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. The request I would make, Chair, is that we allow the, as you said, allow the presentations to take place, and because we'll get information, detailed information from colleagues from the sectors, who can then respond to the detail of these issues. This is based on what has been received, and of course, it's something that we can always improve on, but if we can really allow it to take place and then get others to be made and then engage on those.
What members are saying, for instance, if you are to talk about reprioritization of resources, as you are saying that other colleagues of yours are still to beef up as to what exactly that means, we would want to hear you saying reprioritization of resources on such a budget. Department A is to respond on that. So that we talk specifics, equally you are to refer the matter and the department is to beef up, so that we don't again talk generalizing.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair, for guidance. Indeed, reprioritization is a requirement in terms of the legislation, or the piece of legislation, which is Disaster Management Act, to be specific, Section 21B, that says an occurrence is not classified as a disaster if a legislation in a particular sector that can deal with that can be applied to deal with that occurrence. So in terms of giving effect to that, it is required that when an occurrence has happened, the sectors concerned should look into their budgets to check what is available to deal with the effects of that particular occurrence. So we have had situations where departments such as agriculture, forestry and fisheries, even at provincial level, had to look at what can they get within their allocations to deal with the occurrence. So from that side, there will be clarity in terms of the reprioritization that was made. And of course, from water and sanitation, we would also get an indication of how reprioritization was done, particularly at national level, to support the implementation of water relief and recovery measures. Thank you.
Let's allow Mr. Tao to proceed.
Chair, point of order, Chair. The point we are raising, Chair, we need clarity. Unless we're not going to ask you any question, the point we're asking is that when was this report, the information we're dealing with, is it current information that was meant to be presented to the portfolio committee? That's the question we're asking. Was this report prepared to be presented in the portfolio committee, or is it the report that has been with the department for some time? We want that clarity. It's very important so that when we deal with questions that we're going to ask you, we must be in the position to understand that it's an old area or it's a new area. Because the report as it speaks, Chair, currently it raises, as Honorable Person was saying, that some of the issues, they seem to be old issues. That clarity is important, Chair. Clarify, was this prepared to be presented in the portfolio committee? If so, yes, that's okay, then we can proceed.
Can you quickly respond to that one?
Yes, Chair. And colleagues from Water and Sanitation can be invited to comment on this to further weigh in on my response. It was prepared to be presented here, Chair.
Okay, we shall have to meet Mr. Tetra.
Chair, maybe let's not complicate the matter. The issue here, if you look at the very thing, that the very topic that has been asked as clarified or verified, it says 2015, 2016. And on your next blocks, it also talked to 2016 and 2017. Therefore, Chair, I think this report can be presented and be heard. To me, it covers both year 2015, 2016, 2016, 2017. I think the members will then be clarified. That's why I felt, Chair, that let's continue with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. We were on slide 9, just indicating the amounts that have been allocated. As you can see, this starts from 2015 because this drought is a slow onset and it has been occurring over a number of years, requiring progressive reprioritization of resources to deal with. The amounts are stated there for operational and infrastructure for the provinces. You can see Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and the types of assistance are listed in the last column, where it shows that on operational is about provisioning of water tankers, mobile reservoirs, drilling equipment and refurbishing of boreholes, spring protection, rainwater harvesting, and on infrastructure is reprioritization of funding, emergency pumping, transfers, augmentations, water treatment plants, water purification, and emergency pipelines. From the side of rural development and land reform, and you'll notice that this expenditure may have changed, honorable members, but this is what we have at the current moment, is that for KZN, an approved budget was 84 million and 39.1 was spent at this moment. We can also see other provinces, Northwest, Limpopo, and Free State, and if there's been changes, colleagues could then assist with that. But this is the latest slide that we have. Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, the same principle applies. Reprioritization in the provinces, in the ILIMA allocation, we can see there 10.026, the CASP 19.45, and the types of assistance are also shown. The provincial equitable shares by provinces, for Eastern Cape, 305.9 million, Free State, 10 million, and it also shows the type of assistance that has been provided on these funds. It's also on agriculture. Also interventions, honorable members, on boreholes. This is a contribution from Water and Sanitation, DAF, COCTA, and NGOs. We can see the numbers there, refurbished or equipped about 704, newly drilled 1,026, and total working 7,487. Next slide. Interventions through tankers, water tankering. We can see there for 2016 by water and sanitation, 2016, 44, January 2017, 44, and then we have the total of 150. Next slide. The contribution by private sector and NGOs, we indicated that IDC, Land Bank, through Land Bank has contributed to the relief efforts, and also that private sector played a role in mobilizing resources. And also million trees of drinking water were distributed to affected provinces. Some of the key contributors are the Operation Hydrate that we are also familiar with, a contribution by the Almdad Foundation, Flamengo and ShopRite in collaboration with the public and volunteers. This is just to summarize detailed interventions by sectors, and starting off with COCTA, our role has been to coordinate municipalities, government departments and stakeholders to mobilize resources to address the challenges. Also, assessment of the disaster situation and classification. We have also been issuing early warning information to stakeholders and of course, the facilitation of allocation of disaster grants to municipalities. And there has also been contribution from the MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, and their role has been to assist in developing technical capacity within municipalities, where we place officials in municipalities to provide support regarding the management of municipal infrastructure. These are the areas that have been covered in terms of slide 3. And that this support is continuing at the moment. We have also, as it has been indicated, facilitated allocation of funding, and recently the funds could not be allocated from the disaster grant. The follow-up request could not be allocated from the disaster grant, and because we don't have enough funds in the provincial and municipal grant allocation, and the decision in consultation with Treasury was that the funds should be allocated from the unforeseen and unavoidable allocation. These funds were transferred to the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Water and Sanitation during October 2016. And this is how these funds were used. You'll see for, Honorable Chair, for Department of Agriculture, about 212 million was allocated, and for Water and Sanitation, 341 million was allocated. So for agriculture, this is how it has been apportioned to provinces. And the interventions or types of assistance are listed there per province. These are just some of the pictures showing where distribution of feed was happening. And in this slide, is its allocation to water and sanitation at the 290.7 that has been allocated for a mobile desalination plant at Richards Bay. There was also a reprioritization of 50.6 million and that was used to cater for water tankering in Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal and Northwest. Unfortunately, this amount was exceeded The 50.6 was exceeded as the cost amounted to 99.2 million, and we'll also get details in terms of this area. These are some of the photos showing work that has been done on the ground by the Department of Water and Sanitation. As we reflected, honorable members, when we did the introduction to the presentation, that the country has recently experienced substantial rains, particularly the summer rainfall areas. However, the previously drought-stressed areas are still experiencing some water challenges due to various factors such as dysfunctional infrastructure, vandalized water schemes, and lack of technical expertise within some of the municipalities. We are also aware that the Western Cape province is still facing a drought challenge whose conditions are aggravated by the fact that they are a winter rainfall area. We also, honorable members, want to register the fact that the drilling of boreholes are still continuing, and that the MISA, or the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent, is continuously supporting affected municipalities through deployment of technical skills, particularly to deal with the issue of infrastructure and operations and maintenance aspects. We can, honorable members, report that there have been successes with these interventions. However, the challenges that we would like to draw your attention to is that the challenges with unsustainable and costly drought intervention measures, such as water tankering versus the provision of permanent infrastructure. These are as a result of lack of operation and maintenance of water infrastructure, vandalism and theft of water infrastructure, boreholes that are drilled and not equipped or not functional. There's also challenges with constraints relating to technical capacity within spheres of government, especially the local government sphere. There's also challenges that disaster risk management programs and based on the hazards or the risk in the areas are not sufficiently budgeted for. Also the issue of early warnings and advisories not taken into consideration to ensure proper planning and risk reduction measures to avert economic losses, food insecurity, and livestock mortalities. There's also challenges with delayed implementation of infrastructure programs that have an impact on interventions to mitigate against the effects of drought. As we conclude, Chairperson and honorable members, it is recommended that the Portfolio Committee notes the updated report on the drought and water shortage intervention measures and provide support in upscaling the risk reduction measures to enhance adaptation and sustainability within the water sector. Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members.
Okay, members, as I said earlier on, if we can take notes, otherwise we might be toing and froing without having to preempt what other departments are going to be coming up with. Thanks for that understanding. We shall then allow Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. Did we finally have anybody from rural development?
Yes, Chair. We are sorry, we are late.
Sorry?
I'm saying yes, Chair. I represent the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. We apologize that we are late. It took longer on N2 than we'd expected, over 2 hours coming here.
It took longer for you to come?
Chairperson, I am saying
it took longer for you to be late.
It took longer for us to arrive here from the airport. It was over 2 hours. So we apologize that we arrived late.
Anyway, let's get agriculture. We shall come to you later on. If, again, you introduce yourself and your team. Sorry, from COCTA, are you alone?
I'm with my colleague from Office of the DG, Ms. Gigi Gosner.
Just the two of you? Just the two of you? Oh, okay. Agriculture, if you just introduce yourself and the team.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Members. I am Shiburan Bedi from Agriculture. I'm here with Dr. Hagadzi, who will be doing the presentation. Thank you very much.
Hear that noise? Okay, thank you, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues. As Dr. Tau has already laid the foundation, presenting the umbrella disaster risk for the drought, previous drought, I will now dwell on agriculture, but trying to focus on what are we doing now for this financial year. The purpose that's already outlined today is just to brief the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation jointly with Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance or one action taken by agriculture implementing the drought assistance. Sorry, Chairperson, it seems the slides are not moving here.
As they are fixing, I'm sure you might wish to... We have hard copies. You can talk to the hard copies.
Thanks, Chairperson. As I've already mentioned about the purpose to present to the Portfolio Committee the progress that agriculture is taking, on the second slide, just broadly to give us the introduction, it's already really laid down by Dr. Tau that as an umbrella department, they are leading and we are participating in those structures they've developed. We are collaborating throughout the implementation of this the drought scheme. Mortality from the side of agriculture that was recorded just before we got these good rains, there were almost more than 300,000 as we have collected from all the provinces. And one of the things that we continuously raise is to enhance risk management and strengthen adaptive capacity. That's what we always communicate to say, just because we are from the drought and we are currently receiving good rains, we still emphasize on risk reduction measures that need to be taken up, especially on national range land monitoring, so that we can improve on the grazing side. The challenge that we had from production side that we were affected by the drought, and we are happy that this year with the good rains that food security possibly might be bettered, even if now we are faced with some couple of diseases that is affecting the sector. On the slide number 5, that I was just trying to pick up exactly what the weather conditions. Being said, we know during the drought we were saying we are under El Nino, and the scientists are saying that El Nino is now weakening. Initially last year they said it will be going to La Nina phase, but that didn't really happen, and it's just zeroing around, even if we have received good rains, but they are saying we are not, seems to are moving away from the better situation. When you look at the outlook for this this season, for especially from March to July, the forecast still shows that the better rains are still expected, even if the models maybe might not be so accurate, but they're expecting these good rains can continue into the beginning of autumn. This slide number six, Dr. Tawia sort of already sort of mentioned on that part, but from last year, following the drought as it was continuing, the sector, the provincial department further did an assessment on the ground and requested additional funding to the cost of 1 billion, and National Treasury gave us the 212 million to be spent across the country, and this fund was made indirect fund and to be implemented at national level. We then organized the broader meeting and the provincial structures to start planning for the implementation, and requested all the provinces to give us the beneficiary list and identify the distribution point that need to be used so that we can be able to reach the officials on the ground. We use the list as received from the province, as I mentioned, so that we can make sure that all the beneficiaries are identified by the province as following the assessment undertaken. What we did initially, the appointed service provider, this was done through DAF nationally. We have to go on the ground and introduce all those service providers to the provincial colleagues, and start working from there to show them exactly where are the delivery points and how I want to unpack from that side. One of the things that we did was to, based on the list that was identified, with the 212 funding that was made available, even if initially we requested 1 billion, we had to scale down on the initial maybe possible assistance that the farmers was going to be getting, and this divert from province to provinces while when we were looking at the funding that we are having. And currently this assistance is still going on in all the provinces, but others they have already completed the delivery side. It's only now working on the distribution to specific farmers. When you look at the slide number 10, that is looking at the funding based from the 212, that the province was already allocated 31 million. At the moment, the fund that's already been paid is almost 74%, and the province is currently finalizing and doing the distributions within the province. We are left with, I'm sure, close to 20 to 25 trucks that still need to be delivered by the service providers on the ground. KwaZulu-Natal, similarly, we allocated 23 million. Up to now, we have already paid 50 million, and we are 50%, and we are still distributing to the farming community. We are expecting also to finish the province maybe in the next 2 weeks. Limpopo, they were allocated 28 million. We have spent 13% up to now. This province. Two service providers were appointed initially, but we had a challenge with their performance, and their work was terminated. We then have to reappoint those colleagues, and the new service provider, they are currently really implementing speedily. Now one of the service providers already completed the delivery. The other one will be finished in the next 2 weeks as well. And the intention is to finish before the end of this month. Mpumalanga, based on the deliveries, they've already completed. They were already paid 80%. We are now finalizing the just reconciling the data before we finally pay off. The distribution in the provinces continue. We'll see. We didn't really specify the beneficiaries because they are still continuing through the implementation processes. Northwest, they were given a 38 million, 62 at the moment. Similarly, in the next 2 weeks, they will also be rounding up this the distribution as well as the delivery on the ground. Northern Cape, Chairperson, we initially, as Dr. Tau has shown the slides, that Northern Cape initially wanted to do the voucher system, but because there were the challenges of implementing it, but now I can say 2 days ago, the service provider was appointed to start rolling out the implementation in Northern Cape. We'll be meeting with the province to really start implementing the process on that side. Eastern Cape as well, the distribution deliveries from the service providers have been finalized. We are now looking at finalizing the distribution to the farming community. Western Cape also is one of the provinces, slide number 13, they was quick in finalizing the distribution, delivering distributions, and they have been paid more than what was allocated because of the codes that was initially made available. At the moment, we're at 57, and this was last week. This week, I'm sure tomorrow, Thursday, we'll now be re-looking at how far is the payment that has already been done. Chapter slide number 14, I just want to, but I'm sure Dr. Tau has already talked to the boreholes. Maybe I don't need to go into detail, but boreholes that were equipped were 204. But at the moment, those are already functional. There were 66. That means other challenges were drilled, some when there was no water. Others, they have not yet been fully equipped. So that's why we're now still at 66. Those are functional. For this, that was 2015 and 16. For this 2016-17, from our funding side as a department, this is PMDR, is the Prevention, Mitigation and Disaster Reduction Fund. We are planning to equip 16 boreholes in Northwest and 10 boreholes in Limpopo. So for this financial year, we are planning to do the 26. The team that has been identified to implement are on the ground now doing those installations. The deplorable general views on the current drought on page number 16 is that dryland farmers as from this good rains they have planted throughout the country and the percentage of the planted is more than what we had last year due to the drought conditions. Irrigation farmers, we know that all of them they are relieved, the dams have improved. But as you are aware that the water restrictions are still in place to make sure that we try to address that mitigation part on the water side. Broadly, the livestock condition in some provinces are improving, but that's still a challenge in communal setting that there are no fencing because they are roaming around and whatever grass is coming out, they are trying to catch it. But those are the challenges from that communal setting. Grazing also is generally has improved, especially to the commercial sector because they've got farms, but communally is there, but because of this animal running around, they don't allow that really grass to recuperate because they don't have the land doesn't have that resting time to get it better. Definitely the food price increased throughout the country, rural affected badly, but I'm sure the prices hasn't really gone up when we look at the assessed area from our food security guys that the prices were high during the drought, but even now this good range, they hasn't really changed back to, maybe when after the harvest that might be the difference. Looking at the drought adaptation plan, we had a drought plan that is in place, and most of the issues that is raised is looking at the management of the pests and diseases, the early warning informations, research in broadly that need to be undertaken for future, livestock management that is very important. We have those drought feeding strategies, the livestock marketing, and broadly the management of the field. The water use management is still important for the sector. As I said, proper field management practices that need to preserve the agricultural resources is really important. The way forward, Chairperson, farmers are still advised to be conservative in their planning as the country is not yet out of the drought. We might have been receiving this rains now, but for the sector, we need continuous rain even in the next three seasons to come. Livestock farmers are further advised that we don't need to increase our stock at the moment because of the rains, because in avoid doing the overstocking that might be doing overgrazing. This is more especially to our communal areas where they don't have land to themselves. We still encourage the farmers to implement measures as we issue them on early warning, which sometimes is a challenge that the farmers sometimes don't take this and implement them, but we normally go around and encourage them to take up these measures for their further planning. Program to conserve national resources are encouraged. I know our land care program and our colleagues from rural development are addressing the national field programs. Those are the programs that are really relevant to conserve these natural resources. In the recommendation, Chairperson, I just request the portfolio committee to note the update on the implementation of this drought intervention and the strategies by the Department of Forestry and Fisheries. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. That was a very prompt and straight the issues. One of the issues is the rural development ready. Welcome. I'm told National Treasury people are here. Where's the hand? Okay. Rural development. Whilst rural development is coming before us, one of the major issues, especially the National Treasury, that might wish to advise us on is the cost in putting up a borehole. It's going to be a big issue. There are no standards. It's like everybody's just doing as and when he or she wishes. It's an issue that we also raised with the Water Department. And we did get some flimsy response. You know, it depends on conditions. If the conditions, you know, that's how you get away with murder, TG. One of your officials was trying to explain something, you know, that at the end, you know, you had to say, ah, it's fine, you know. We can't hear you, but go away. Rotterdam, who you are, the team you're with.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members. My name is Abigail Tabete. I am the Chief Director in the Rural Disaster Mitigation Services of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. I am with the Director in the Chief Directorate, Ms. Angelina Nzala. We have been requested by our acting DG to come and present to the Portfolio Committee. She says that she has sent a written apology. Thank you, Chair. Can I continue? For the rural development and land reform presentation, we are going to cover mainly the areas of intervention by our department, the strategy that was used in terms of delivery, and the areas where the interventions were dispersed. The areas of intervention are similar to what the head of the National Disaster Management Center has already spoken to. for rural development and land reform, we were to identify land for relocation of livestock from where the areas were hardly hit due to drought to areas that still had failed for grazing. Secondly, we were to revitalize feedlots. Thirdly, we were to also support in the drilling and equipping of boreholes. Fourthly, we also had to encourage auction sales of livestock by communal farmers. We also had to support the creation of fire breaks to mitigate against fires in the absence of enough water and resources. We also had to provide feed and water for livestock and also to support, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, the sugarcane farmers. Those were the interventions. Now, in terms of how we worked, as the head of the Disaster Management Center has mentioned, we worked together being with other departments, being coordinated by the National Disaster Management Center from COCTA, as they are the ones who are mandated to coordinate all activities of disaster management in the country. I will just repeat, because I was not aware that some of these points would be covered already by my earlier colleagues. National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee was activated by NDMC in November 2015, of which Department of Rural Development and Land Reform became part, with other various departments that have already been listed earlier. In these national joint disaster coordinating committee meetings, all government departments were expected to submit their disaster response plans, which included our department, and those response plans were then presented to the members of the NJDCC in order to make sure that we do not duplicate the allocation of interventions to community members. There were different sectors. There was a water sector and the agricultural sector. Rural development supported DAF mainly as part of the agricultural sector in the delivery of interventions. To make sure that we were coordinated and in line with what DAF was doing, we then followed their strategy, which ensured that it looked at assisting farming communities who were severely affected by the natural disaster and could not cope, and it also promoted implementation of disaster risk reduction measures by community members. And also that strategy was to ensure that farmers register to receive interventions. This was taken from the drought assistance scheme that was utilized at province level by DAF. Assessments were conducted prior to identification of interventions and their delivery. Assessments were conducted by both Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and DAF. And while doing those assessments, communication was made widely for registration requirements by farmers who were in need. After the delivery, we have also done a verification process to ensure that what was promised to be delivered to the farming community was delivered. I think I must also mention that for rural development and land reform, commercial farmers were not supported. In the following slide, then I'm going to look at how delivery in terms of interventions was done. Earlier on, they spoke to the reprioritization of funds within programs. In rural development and land reform, the main programs from which we reprioritized was from recapitalization and development, and also from rural development. But in rural development, it came mainly from animal field management projects and the River Valley catalytic programs. Under rural development, the total budget was 174 million rand, while in recap it was 299 million rand. If you look at the total budget from the entire department that was utilized, it was 463 million rand. However, we are only talking to the funds that were approved in 2015-16, because in 2016-17 there has been no funding allocated to the drought interventions. So all that we are presenting is for the previous financial year. Now, looking into province details, in Free State, the kind of interventions that were delivered based on how the situation was assessed to identify the needs, the main things were to create the fire breaks in our land reform farms so that we mitigate any possible disaster or fire burning. So about 92 kilometers of fire breaks were created in about 10 land reform farms, while feed was also delivered in 4 communities in the Free State, and there was also boreholes, about 5 boreholes in Thabong Futsanyana district, which were drilled, tested and equipped. In KwaZulu-Natal, there were also different interventions there, which included about drilling of 50 boreholes in all the declared district municipalities. There was also plantation of fodder under the irrigation schemes, the irrigation scheme which is in Tsuze, and another irrigation scheme which is in Ndumo. At Ndumo, about 80 hectares of maize and another 80 hectares of lucerne was planted, while in Tsuze, about 40 hectares of maize and 40 hectares of lucerne was planted. All these activities have been completed because they are of a previous financial year. There was also a number of auction sale livestock happening in KwaZulu-Natal. It was mainly there because in KwaZulu-Natal it's where the drought persistent has been longer than other provinces. And a lot of our communal farmers were being encouraged to reduce stock so that we reduce overgrazing on the land. Several areas were in Mkanyabude, Uthukela, Umzinyathi, Uthungulu, Zululand, Umgungundlovu, Herigwala, Amajuba and other district municipalities that were covered with auction sale facilities. We also supported the sugarcane industry in KwaZulu-Natal. About 9,205 farmers were assisted from both land reform and small-scale sugarcane farmers. And in this area, our department utilized a strategic partner who is SAFTA to deliver the support to sugarcane farmers. In Limpopo, there were 2 intervention areas that they were focused on. That was drilling and equipping of boreholes. The 3 boreholes were drilled in 3 different districts, one in Mopani, secondly in Vembe, and another one in Waterberg District Municipality. Also, the same happened for this district wherein animal feed was delivered. In Mpumalanga, several interventions were put in place. Firstly, the revitalization of the feedlot in Komazi, a feedlot was constructed in Mzindi village. Also there, they made sure that there was a fence and cattle handling facilities which were completed in Lekerluop farm. There was also creation of grazing camps and establishment of cattle kraal in Mount Sheba farm. They also made sure that they created grazing camps, boundary fence and cattle kraal in Kopis Kraal farm. They drilled and equipped boreholes in Chief Albert Luthuli local municipalities and in Tabachewu municipality. So there were 2 boreholes in different farms. That was in Mount Sheba and in Lekerluop farm. In Mpumalanga, they also requested that fire breaks be created. So fire breaks were created to about 358 plus farms. They totaled a length of 3,828 kilometers. They also provided feed for the livestock, mainly in Ehlanzeni, in Gertsibande, and in Kangala district municipalities. In Northern Cape, they also provided animal feed and firefighting equipment as requested by the province. And these interventions went to Pritlika Seme, Francis Barth, ZF, Mgao, Namakwa, and John Taolo district municipalities. In Northwest, the requested interventions were mainly in equipping of boreholes, wherein 115 boreholes were drilled, tested and equipped in three declared district municipalities, that is Bojanala, Ngakamodiri Molema, and Dr. Ruth Sekgomothi Mompati. They also provided feed and water for animals. Thank you, Chairperson.
The boreholes seemingly are going to be a very big issue here. National Treasury, you'll have to prepare some inputs in that regard. Okay, water and sanitation, TG, in your team.
Department. My name is Dan Mashitisho, the DG, and with me is the DDG responsible for planning and information, Ms. Deborah Mochoti, and the DDG responsible for special projects, Mr. Trevor Balsa, and of course some of our colleagues from the support staff. I'll ask Mr. Trevor Balsa, the DDG, to take us through our presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to take you through the presentation, but I'm going to just also add some information which you won't see in the presentation. Because given that the presentation and the information here was prepared on Friday the 24th of February, since then, we've had a lot of water coming into our rivers and dams, and I would like to just give you an update of those figures. I have prepared some fresh slides, which we can show you if so required. And I will also just talk in terms of a question which DG raised with me last evening, just talk around the issue of flood management. But just reflecting on the weather, first of all, now let me take a step back. Let me just also concur and just confirm that we work very closely with the NDMC and the other sector departments in dealing with the drought intervention. There will be some slides in the presentation which you will have already seen in Dr. Tao's presentation from the NDMC. I won't deal with them in great detail, but I will just add some comments around them, some pertinent comments around them. I also believe that the staff, admin staff, did circulate a copy of the Seasonal Climate Watch. Am I correct in that? This document from SOARS, the Seasonal Climate Watch? Yeah. Chair, the reason for circulating that is in terms of dealing with the drought from a hydrological point of view and also dealing with the floods, we need to coordinate very closely with the Department of Agriculture, in particular with the Agricultural Research and ARC, and also with SOARS.
The document, Mr. Balza is referring to will be circulated just momentarily. Did we all receive? Okay.
So if Chair, if just in terms of the first
we
slide,
can get
we have
more copies for the rest of the members.
So, Chair, just in terms of looking at the text on that slide which is up there at the moment, we're close to our long-term averages for the month of February, and we're currently in agreement with the predicted end zone neutral, which points to a near normal precipitation conditions. But when you read the SAWS forecast, you'll see that they have in the long range indicated the possibility of a weak El Nino developing in spring. Yeah, I got this as well. Okay. A weak El Nino developing in spring this year. So the rains may be temporary relief, and I'm listening to my colleague from agriculture indicating the drought is, from their perspective, is far from over. Certainly from the department's point of view, we've also indicated that the recovery from the drought is going to take quite a while for the recovery of our dams and our groundwater systems. So, Chair, I think we still need to exercise caution in terms of the way we go forward, particularly with the management of our major reservoirs. Chair, if I could then, there's another document, as I said, the information is quite dynamic. So there's another document which looks very similar to the one that was circulated, but it's one that just indicates DWS weekly report on the 27th of February. If I could just use that, I'll leave this slide up onto the screen, but I'll just use that slide, that document, just to give you a current update as of yesterday, in terms of our current dam status. Chair, can I just ask whether everyone has it in front of them, a hard copy in front of them? And I must apologize, Chair, that you only got it this morning, but as I say, the information is quite dynamic. We monitor on a... Are you going to try and put it on here for me? We monitor on a continuous basis 211 of the major storage dams across the country. And we provide a weekly verified report on that information, which is published on our website. And as of Monday, the report shows that from last Monday, the 20th, which was our last reporting cycle, that our dams have increased by 11.1%. Now, Chair, that's quite significant, but it's still, and it's while it's something to be excited about, it's still an issue that we need to have a measure of caution around, because there are still areas which are not in a happy situation. And if I just go back to my reference to SAWS and the work that we use from the Agricultural Research Council, is it Council or Commission? Council. We use information which they publish on a monthly basis through a publication which they call Mlindi. And in that they publish a standardized precipitation index, an SPI, which then gives you an indication of the way the ground conditions are recovering. And what we've found is that when we superimpose our information onto the ARC information in terms of SPI, there's a very close correlation in terms of the way the dams are responding as well. So currently, if you look at the Mlindi report, you'll see that there are still three or four areas in particular which are still under stress, and that being the western part of the Northern Cape, the Western Cape, and the southeastern part, no, southwestern parts of the Eastern Cape. And then there are still pockets within Free State and Limpopo where our dams haven't recovered sufficiently. So I'll just give that by way of background. So those rains that we had in the last 2 weeks have made the situation quite a bit better in Northwest Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, and a little bit in KwaZulu-Natal, bit in Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape. KwaZulu-Natal, Chair, has been quite strange in that that last weather pattern that came through last week, which dumped quite a lot of rain in Gauteng, Northwest Free State and Mpumalanga, only just dumped a bit of rain over the Drakensberg, which got into the Tugela, and some down into the coastal areas. So when you look at the Mgani system, which I'll touch on, is still under stress. If you look at northern KZN, in terms of the Pongolo and the Goedetrouw Dam, still under stress. So it really didn't have the type of impact in KZN as it did in Gauteng. And that's why you'll see that we are recommending, or Minister announced on Sunday, that some restrictions are being lifted, but in other areas restrictions will still stay because of the way that that weather ran out. So currently there are still a number of rivers that are flowing quite strongly. In fact, I came across the Tugela yesterday, crossed it at the coast in KZN, and that river is still belting it down. But it hasn't contributed to some of our major storage dams. So this week we've got 65 dams which are more than 100%. Some of those will be, if you look at them on our website, will be recording up to 100, 105%. And those are dams which spill freely. Most of our dams have got free flow spillways, and it's only on the olifants, the crocodile, and on the Vaal, where we've got gated structures where we can manage the drought and manage the flows, and I'll come through that in a moment. So the short-term forecast is positive for more rain, but the longer-term forecast a little bit concerning. So in managing the floods, and I'll talk to the Vaal system chair, we have to make sure that we manage those dams in such a way that if we do get any more rain over the next 2 weeks, we don't create undue damage by too much water coming out, and I'll describe the way we do it in a moment or two. The Western Cape system, Chair, is the one that is of most concern at the moment. It's dropped by 1.6% week on week to 32.4%. The Mgani system has risen up to 59.4%, but the Mgani system, as it was in the Vaal, we would want to get to a threshold of about 75%. Before we consider even reducing restrictions there. There's one dam that's an exception in the Mgani Tekweni area, and that's the Hazelmere Dam. It's a dam quite close to the coast, and that dam is 91%, I think, at the moment. Now, that dam 2 years ago was pretty close to failure, and we had difficulty in dealing with water supply to the Ilembe District Municipality and some of those coastal resorts north of Durban, but Tekweni, sorry. But as of today, it's sitting at 95%, so looking quite pretty. And that's how patchy the rain has been and the way it's impacted on our dams. In the Amatola District Municipality in the Eastern Cape, still experiencing critical shortages, Butterworth being a notable area of difficulty. In the northwest, we've had very good rains in the Marika and the Crocodile. And last night at Bight Bridge, where we measure the water between Zimbabwe and ourselves, we had a peak flood which went through there of about 4,400 cumecs. So we had to put our colleagues in Mozambique on alert because of that flood coming down. With the last station, which we would normally have been able to measure, is at Pafuri, but the data logging equipment that we normally have at Pafuri has been vandalized, so we aren't able to measure there. So we've got to do it by observation. But that water will now be flowing into Mozambique, and they will deal with it in the as it moves through Mozambique. Chair, just in terms of the provincial averages, this slide, I'm not going to go through it in detail, but if you have a look at the bottom right-hand corner, currently we're sitting at 71.6% Last week at 60.5, and if you look at the last year, the column 3 in from the right, 54.2. So we're looking better than what we did last year, but it's some of the provinces still of concern. Eastern Cape still a concern, particularly around the systems that supply Nelson Mandela Bay and the Amatola District Municipality. Free State looking good, but if you look at the four dams that supply Mangaung, they aren't looking good at this stage. So even though we had those, and some of you will recall the heavy rain in Mangaung with streets flooded, that water didn't help some of the dams, that major dams that supply Mangaung. So yeah, that's the way the Lord dished it out to us. Lesotho 55.1, Limpopo looking quite good, 75.5, but if you look at Polokwane in particular, not at a level where we can reduce restrictions at this point in time as well. Northern Cape 115, but Northern Cape is quite a strange phenomenon as well. We've got two of the big dams that are measured there, Gariep and Gariep and Van der Kloof on Free State, sorry. It's the weirs down at Kakamas and Boegeberg. And those weirs will very often show 100% because we're releasing water from the Van der Kloof Dam down the river. Northwest I've touched on, 89.8%. Swaziland has picked up quite nicely, and the reason we put in Swaziland is because we manage a scheme there jointly with Swaziland, the Driekoppies and Maguga schemes, so that is looking quite good. Then the Western Cape, we show it as Western Cape Other, which is the summer rainfall area, and Western Cape Winter. So the summer rainfall area is at 28.3%, the winter rainfall area 32.3%, and average on 31.8%. So that's really our red flag area at the moment. Chair, the next information, not going to go through it in detail. What I would like to take you through, with your permission, Chair, is just take you to a slide on the Vaal River system that I can talk you through the way we're managing that flood through there, if you, with your permission. But we've provided some information, which is also which is updated information from the presentation which was circulated yesterday or the day before. So, Chair, would that be okay if I just go straight to the slide on the Vaal River system? So, Chair, just to first of all give you an indication, and I've got a pointer here somewhere. There's a pointer along here. I don't know whether this is going to work on you. Chair, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the Vaal River system operates. So what I've taken the opportunity of putting up here is the Vaal as we operate it, right down to Douglas. This is all the Vaal catchment area, but this area here forms part of the Orange River, and that's the catchment which is part of Lesotho. So that's where we have the Putihale, I'm jumping the gun, Putihale is not finished. That's where we have the Kotse and the Mohale dams, which feed in from the Senkwe into South Africa via the transfer tunnel into the Liebenberg Slay. So we take on a continuous basis 30 cubic meters per second from Lesotho into the Vaal system. We also have two other transfers where we transfer water from the Jigela up near Bergville. We transfer that water into the Sterkfontein Dam. The Sterkfontein Dam is a dam which has no catchment, so it gets very little natural rainwater. All of the water in the Sterkfontein Dam is pumped from the upper Jigela. And we pump that water from, it comes from the Woodstock Dam, we pick it up at Driel, we pump it through to the Kilburn Dam, and then Eskom help us in the evenings when they aren't generating, when they're moving their water up to the Driekloof Dam, they then pump our water up as well. And that's how we get the water up to fill the Sterkfontein. So that's done on a daily basis. And what you see in the press sometimes about people saying we aren't pumping, don't believe it. Contact us and we'll tell you what the real answer is. We pump on a daily basis using Eskom to help us during, and we fit in with the Eskom generation regimen to be able to do that, because they keep that as their battery for when they need peaking power. So when they're pumping up to get water up there for them to be able to peak, generate, we then they pump for us as well. So that's the way the system works there. Then we also take water from the Zaaihoek and the Hazehoek transfer schemes, which go into the upper Vaal above the Groot Dry Dam. And those transfer schemes are to supply the water, the power stations in that area, which are run by Eskom. So a big element of making sure that we move water around is also to make sure that we have lights. So it's also part of our energy security plan. So those are the transfer systems. So the water then goes down to the Vaal, and we then either release water from the Vaal down to Bloemhof, and Bloemhof we will release, and water will go down the Orange River and find its way to the coast. Water from Bloemhof goes to the Vaalharts irrigation scheme. It goes through to Vaal Gamagara, and some of that water even goes through to up on the top India, would go through to Botswana. So it's a huge scheme, Chair. And in that scheme, we manage 14 dams collectively to keep water running. And those dams I'm going to show you in a moment. So currently, the installed capacity of the Vaal River system is 10 billion cubic meters. That's one-third of our installed capacity, which I reported to you on the 211 dams. 211 dams, 30 billion cubic meters. Vaal system is 10 billion of that. So it's one-third of our installed capacity. Currently, it's at 84.4%, so looking good. We took a decision around lifting restrictions when we got to 75%. So you can see the Vaal, we're showing it at 100% there, but the actual percentage this morning on the Vaal is 103.5%. So the Vaal at 103.5%, Sterkfontein you can see 88.7%, that's pumped water, Groot Dry 102%, we've got two gates open there and we're releasing water, and down to where is... Bloemhof. Bloemhof is at 93.8, and we're also releasing water from Bloemhof. The reason that we release water from the Groot Dry, from Vaal, and from Bloemhof is that those are the dams which have got gates on them, and we're able to manage the flow through them, so we ease the flood out to make sure that we minimize the damage down the Vaal River system. So currently, as of this morning, just pass my cell phone there, please. My cell phone, please. Thanks, Deborah. Chair, I hope you don't mind me taking you through this in a bit of detail. But as of this morning, we've got two gates open at Groot Dry, and we have two gates open at the Vaal. So at the Vaal, we have 373 cubic meters per second coming in, and we're letting 212 out. So the Vaal dam will stay above 100%, but we're taking out a bit more than what we're using at the moment. That goes in below the Vaal dam, goes past Vereeniging, over the barrage, down into the Groot, the Bloemhof dam. At the Bloemhof Dam, we currently have an inflow of 200 cubic meters per second. So you'll see how it's eased out. Vaal Dam, 212 coming out. Coming into Bloemhof, it's 200. So you're losing a bit of that down the river. And we are taking out of Bloemhof 295. So we're trying to keep Bloemhof below 100% so that we've got a buffer there to handle a flood when it comes through. Because if you remember in 2011 when we managed the flood, half of Douglas was underwater because of the size of that flood that came through there. The biggest flood that we've taken through the system was in 1995, where the dam went up to 118%. And that was the biggest flood that we took through the dam, the recorded flood, and we're working on 75 years of recorded history in the way we manage the system. So, Chair, that's what we basically do there. It's quite complex. We've got a team of highly qualified technicians at head office under Deborah's management responsibility, and in the field under our regional directors who manage the system collaboratively and take instructions when to open and when to close. So the Vaal Dam, I said we've opened two gates. The Vaal Dam has got 60 gates on it. So when we've got a peak flood coming through there, and we're around about 116%, we might have all 60 of those gates open. But then you're passing a lot of water out, and all of those folk who have illegally developed on the Vaal between the dam and the barrage will be flooded out. So that's why the department takes a precaution and issues flood warnings as they did last week. We didn't know when the rain would let up. We were still measuring the extent of the flood. So flood warnings are put out to make sure that we are able to advise people downstream. Chair, I'll go on to the rest of the presentation, the earlier presentation we could. So, and my apologies for taking so long, but it's quite important to understand this. There's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of information that gets out onto the social media, which gives a different perspective.
Mr. Balza, otherwise we're going to run out of time very soon. Okay? We are aware that you are a specialist in this field. You have been there for how many years again? 38 years. 40 years now.
40 years, yeah.
I told you. Thank you.
Chair, so we on a daily basis, we produce that type of information which shows, and that's just for the Vaal, shows the storage on the blue line and the orange line as it comes down. Now, in January, on the 8th of January, we had a flood of 320 cumecs coming through. This one here that we went through now was a flood of about 2,300 cumecs. So you can see the difference, a much bigger flood. And at the time when we did engagement to the media then, we said that we would need 10 more of those to be able to fill the system. And this year is the equivalent of those 10 more, when you look at it in volume and duration. Okay, just help me get back to the other presentation shortly. Chair, just before I go back to the presentation, when I talk about groundwater, if I could just, it's down, where is it? I'm going to use the slide before I move off it, if I could. Chair, just to first of all understand the stages of the drought. And my colleagues from Agriculture and NDMC have touched on it. We've gone through all of these three stages with the drought cycle. The meteorological drought, that's when we don't have enough precipitation in terms of what comes out of the clouds. The hydrological, when we run through not enough water in the system. The agricultural drought, when you have the impact on the ground and you have SPIs decreasing and agriculture not being able to plant. And then, of course, the most extreme, the socioeconomic drought, and that would be something which we see in Africa generally where you have famine. And it has a huge impact on people with regard to food production and don't have enough food around, can't plant, and you have famine. And that would be the socioeconomic drought. We're now at the moment in that recovery stage where the meteorological drought, basically over in terms of some of the precipitation in some parts of the country, and we are getting through the hydrological drought. And as my colleague said, in agriculture takes a much longer period to recover as well, so he gave that warning. I also gave the warning with regard to the water supply systems, but we are in that recovery period in some parts of the country. The Western Cape, we haven't got into that recovery period yet. We're still into that D3 period as far as the Western Cape is concerned and the western parts of the Northern Cape and parts of the Eastern Cape. Then, just wait a bit, don't get too excited. Then, Chair, just to show you, yes, I'm going to touch on the groundwater stuff. Many folk ask us about the groundwater. When we're going through a meteorological drought, the groundwater is impacted slower than the surface water. You'll see it's just against a relative norm. Surface water dips down and it recovers. The dotted line would be the groundwater, which dips down much slower and recovers much slower. So we're seeing, and I'll just show you a quick slide there. You'll see we've measured from January 2015 through to January 2017, and you'll see in the Western Cape, you've had a 63% decrease in the water table levels. In Limpopo, which relies very heavily on groundwater, up until January 2017, we were 82%. This is an average figure from January 2015 to January 2017, 63 and 74 for Limpopo. So that just shows you that that slow recovery that I'm talking about over there. So we need a lot more rain to get those systems to recover. Now you can take me back. Thanks. Chair, so in terms of the original presentation that went out, we did also... it's not working. The technology is beating me today, Chair. Okay, now let me go down now. We've given you the list of the dams which are still critically low. I'm not going to go through them individually, but those are the dams which are still under a watch, and those are the dams which one would focus on if you were doing an intervention program. And this is the information we've used throughout the drought intervention. So I'm going to whip through them. I just want to get through a... Chair, one of the ways which we as a department are able to manage water supplies in a time of drought is through restrictions. It's not a very popular way of managing water, but it's one of the management interventions which all of our dams are based on. Our dams are there to supply water when we have high rainfall in the summer or in the winter season in the Western Cape to take us through drier periods. But when we have an excessively dry period like we've just come through, then we've got to go into restrictions. And it's unavoidable in a country like South Africa, which is inherently dry. It's one of the 30th driest countries, and it's the only way that we can manage it. So we try and see that there's equity, restrictions to make sure we get past the drought. We do pre-releasing in terms of floods, which I mentioned. We try and minimize operational costs. We try and reduce water losses. We look at water quality. We facilitate infrastructure maintenance during that period, and we maximize system yield, and we do communication. That's all part of our drought management plan when we do interventions. So on all of our systems, we've got system operating forums, and all of the major users, including the municipalities, form part of those forums, and when we take a decision to implement restrictions, they're part of that decision. So what we expect is once they've agreed to those levels of restrictions, that they will then go and implement their bylaws to put restrictions in at a municipal level. Because we don't do it at a municipal level, we do it at the national level. So I've messed up again, Shawkey. So if you look at this slide, it's just a summary of as of Friday, when we have still had 58 schemes under restrictions. That Gauteng one is the one that has been lifted. The other ones, Chair, which will in all probability be lifted, are the 9 in the northwest. Because most of the dams, there are only 2 dams in northwest which aren't full. It's Molatedi Dam and the Groot Mariko, which aren't full at the moment. But all of the other dams have picked up. Even your Swartruggens Dam, Chair, is over 100% at the moment. So we will then be looking at lifting those restrictions there as well, and there might be some in Limpopo. But that's the process we go through, just assessing the systems and then make recommendations to the DG and the Minister in terms of lifting restrictions. Oh, my word. Chair, just on the emergency interventions, this slide, you've had it already from Dr. Tao. What I just wanted to touch on is that there are about 30,000 production boreholes countrywide. But one of the concerning things about that inventory of 30,000 production boreholes is that we find at the municipal level there's either very poor maintenance, which Dr. Tao picked up, mentioned, and there's extensive vandalism. Because those boreholes aren't always within the area, easy management area of a municipality and are quite distant, they tend to be vandalized. And we found that even in the drought intervention, when we have equipped boreholes, very shortly after having equipped them, they have cables stolen, diesel engine stolen, and that type of thing. So we go back on more than one occasion to re-equip. And that's an issue which we need to deal with going forward. The next slide deals with the water tankers, Chair. And as is indicated on this slide, all of the tankers which were provided by the department have now been withdrawn. But I must just say, and the only reason that I would just dwell a bit on that water tanker slide is that water tankering is not a sustainable solution. And if I use KZN as an example, we mobilized 44 tankers from the department in KZN. The cost to run those tankers on a monthly basis runs out at about 2.5 million rand. So it's a very good emergency measure, but it's not a sustainable measure, because you start eating up funds which should be going into other operation and maintenance issues, and you don't get any return from it. You'll have tankers at the end of the day, but it doesn't sustain the water supply. Now, one of the things, Chair, and it's really anecdotal evidence, and the PDM, the monitoring, what's the acronym for that? DPME, yeah. DPME at the presidency are looking at it at the moment, is that anecdotally, it seems like in some municipalities, infrastructure doesn't get repaired or sometimes gets vandalized because tankers get mobilized. So DPME are trying to have a look at that, to have a look, see how it is. And I know from experience, if you go to Northwest, for argument's sake, there's 133 tankers. If you take ours out, the municipalities had 108. Madi Beng possibly has about 22 of those.
You're close to concluding now.
Okay, I'm going to conclude now, Chair. Ngaka Modiri has another 25 or so. And regardless of how much intervention we put in place in terms of repairing infrastructure, those tankers still operate. And those are the things that one needs to have a look at. And I only use that, Chair, as example because I've been working closely with those two municipalities. Just in terms of the funding, I've just given you, and I'll conclude on this one, Chair. The other information is available. This is the additional appropriation that was made in last year. When does additional appropriation, September, October, thereabouts, where Treasury allocated an additional 341.3 million, 290 allocated for the desalination plant at Richards Bay, and the balance went into the completion of the tanker services. The Richards Bay desalination plant, the equipment is all installed. We are 2 weeks behind in terms of the completion of that project, and the only thing that's holding us up is the tying in to the municipal system, which we dealt with at a steering committee yesterday in Richards Bay. So we're hoping that during the middle of this month, March, that we should be able to get that system up and running. But the equipment has all been installed. And, Chair, I will stop there in the interest of time, but the other information is available on a province-by-province basis. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. National Treasury, quickly. As you are wrapping up, you will not get anything more than 15 minutes. Yellow.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Ulrike Ruida. I am probably best described as the shop steward for departments which include...
Do we have the presentation? Okay. You will talk to other related issues.
As I was saying, I am the budget examiner who works with the Departments of Cooperative Governance and Judicial Affairs and the Department of Water and Sanitation. The presentation is specifically deals with the legislative framework and the budgeting process for disaster relief such as drought. And I'll just talk about what that is, how we've provided for it in the 2016 Division of Revenue Act and what we have done in the 2016 Adjustments Budget. So the Public Finance Management Act gives the Minister of Finance powers to table a budget. Included in that is the powers and probably limitations on what he can table and when he tables the adjustments budget, and is quite specific in what we can do at an adjustments budget. So the PFMA says that we can only table if there was some unforeseen economic event that impacts on the fiscal framework, if there was an event or events that were unforeseen and unavoidable. It is both, not one or the other. And this is recommended by a committee of cabinet, which is chaired by the president. In terms of Section 16, Section 16 deals with emergencies, so this is if we have to go to war and how do we appropriate money for that. So the drought relief money that was tabled in the adjustments budget was appropriated by Section 32D, which is the Minister of Finance who makes an announcement at the main budget. And what this really means is at the time of the February budget, the Minister, we don't know what is needed by who, so we don't know how to... We don't know how to ask Parliament to appropriate money and how much to appropriate to the different votes who require funds. So when the Minister of Finance makes it, like he did this last week, he announces something and then in the adjustments budget, so there's some work that needs to be done so that we can have the details on how we propose for this to be allocated in the adjusted appropriation bill. And then it deals with rollovers, vitamins, when there are function shifts and all of that. The Division of Revenue also, the Division of Revenue Bill and the Division of Revenue Act also provides for disaster relief. We have very specific grants for disaster relief, and these are the immediate response grants. They have a special schedule in the Division of Revenue Act. Those are grants that are literally for immediate response. So a disaster is declared, the money flows without it being gazetted to or allocated to a municipality or a province. So we have a disaster relief grant, an immediate disaster relief grant for provinces and for municipalities. Those are the Schedule 7 grants. We have a disaster recovery grant to municipalities, and that deals with kind of infrastructure rehabilitation that isn't provided for in the municipal infrastructure grant. And then at the provincial level, in sectoral grants, we also provide windows within those grants for disaster relief. So for flood damage that happened 3 years ago, the provincial roads maintenance grant will have a window in there to repair infrastructure for that. To deal with the drought, the 2016 Division of Revenue Act has special provisions that we have never provided for before. And this is provided for in terms of Section 20 of the Division of Revenue Act and Section 21. So in Section 20, it basically sets out the process on how we can move grants around to deal with the alleviation of a disaster, so in this case drought, and I'll show the allocations later. And it sets out the process, who's responsible, so this would be, and there's a strong role for the National Disaster Management Center in this, and something that is completely new that we have never introduced in the Division of Revenue Act was the shifting of funds between the disaster relief grants. So what this means is we can move money from the provincial disaster relief grant into the municipal disaster relief grant or the other way around if there is insufficient funding available in either of the grants. This is something completely new that we have introduced last year and what it really does is it fundamentally changes both the provincial and the municipal fiscal framework by moving money across different spheres of government in here. But we thought it was important in a way to alleviate any immediate responses that was needed for disaster relief. So what Section 20 really means is that we can take any of the grants listed in the table and we can, with, at the request of the transferring officer, jointly with the National Disaster Management Center, move money from one grant to disaster relief. So if, say, the Department of Human Settlements with the Disaster Management Center requests that we move money off the Human Settlements Development Grant for disaster relief, Section 20 of the Revision of Revenue Act allows us to do that. It's the same with any of the kind of public transport grants. So this wasn't only limited to the grants within those in the departments who were most affected, agriculture, rural development, and water. We could have moved money from any of the other grants at the request of the Disaster Management Center and the transferring officer. And so one of the things that you'll see on here is we have the Provincial Disaster Relief Grant, which is the immediate response grant, which is allocated $112 million. As at the end of the third quarter, there was no spending on this grant. So the National Disaster Management Center and the Department of Cooperative Government chose not to use the grant to provide any disaster or drought relief from this grant. Similarly, with the municipal conditional grants, we also have $270 million allocated to the immediate relief grants for municipal disaster recovery. So Section 20, subsection 6, would have allowed us to move any allocations of any of these grants into disaster relief if the Department of Cooperative Governance, the transferring officer, and the NDMC had requested that. And then just on the adjustments budget, so as I said earlier on, the PFMA provides, gives the Minister of Finance power to table an adjustments budget, and it also tells him what he can table the budget for. So in the case of drought relief, money was tabled in terms of Section 32D, which is the minister who made the announcement in the main budget, then made allocations for drought relief. I must reiterate that we rely quite heavily on the National Disaster Management Center for information in making recommendations to the Cabinet Committee. Because they have the capacity to assess and to verify what is required. In this case, there was also the Interministerial Task Team and the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee, who had all sorts of reports, and we could use that in making recommendations to the committee. And based on that, the $553 million was allocated for drought relief. This money is allocated as part of the contingency reserve, that is part of the fiscal framework that Parliament approves, and in that contingency reserve, together with Section 30, is basically on what the money can be allocated for, and we had the money allocated for $553 million. 212 of that went to the Department of Agriculture, and $341 million went to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Thank you, Chair.
So clearly the National Treasury sought to skirt around the issues and avoid getting into some of the hard issues, having listened to all the departments talking on the matters at hand.
My apologies, Chair. I mean, I am slightly uncomfortable to talk about some costing and norms and standards because in the Treasury we are a bunch of economists and not necessarily geologists and hydrologists.
Okay. Members, those are the issues raised by the respective departments. And clearly, there's a lot of duplication that is happening. And clearly, there are a number of issues that relate to setting of norms and standards that have to be put in place. There's that disaster management structure, coordinating structure, is doing its job. Whether those duplications, they talk to boreholes, literally everybody is doing boreholes, whether you're going to be talking about, you know, DAF or rural development or water and sanitation provinces for that matter, and also NGOs and private organizations. Boreholes, they seem to be a pet for everyone to play around. I also thought that COCTA would talk about maintenance. Remember your Back to Basics program that talks about municipalities expected to spend 10% on maintenance of the total budget. I thought because much of what we are going through, as we are talking about drought, the reliability of infrastructure, especially at municipal level, pretty much talks about whether or not our infrastructure is maintained. As much as we are to be talking about and thinking of all these future programs, but maintenance becomes very important and critical. Clearly, Environment Department is very critical in this regard as well, as it talks about early warning signs. But even if they are not there, I would imagine here that the structure should be able, and also water and sanitation to be more specific, would be able to say, which is something that I really find it odd, as you are able to detect your early warnings, to predict what is to happen, whether or not I see what National Treasury is talking about here insofar as contingency budget is concerned. I think a figure of about 6 billion rand is mentioned. But also for the departments to be able to say, much as we are to say, going forward, this is the scenario. Granted, you know, the situation may not necessarily be a definitive one, but planning versus that prediction becomes very critical, I would have thought. And then on the vandalism and theft of infrastructure, I find it very odd until today as we speak now, we just cannot make an example. We have just heard this legislation passed mid last year. Haven't made an example of some of those that steal and that vandalize our infrastructure. I think we need to make that example out there of those that vandalize our infrastructure. As it were, it is, if you like, a sabotage of a social and economic and political nature. You never know who is doing this kind of dirty work. So an example really has to be, because we cannot be complaining all the time. You are in charge as government. You are in charge in terms of making sure that there is law and order in this country. We cannot be complacent and be complaining all the time. At some point, decisions and action must be taken. So those are some of the issues from where I'm seated that I would have picked up, and perhaps thinking that the department would also have been able to really, you know, give us some inspiration that indeed, let's look forward, there's work done, we're doing work, we're acting, we're not just complaining. You are a government in power. You are in charge. We cannot always be hearing, you know, stories that complain. Who is supposed to be doing work if you are complaining forever? Members, if there is anything, I saw Mr. Stein, Mrs. Baker, Mr. Basson, Mr. Mguni, Mr. Malloy, Anyone, sorry. Mrs. Kaula, Mr. Chauke, in that order for now. Mrs. Day.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for organizing this meeting. I think it's long overdue, and it's also good that we're having it. Chair, unfortunately, I also have to apologize. I have to leave at 12 o'clock. I've got another meeting, unfortunately. Firstly, Chair, I want to find out from Gokta, just yesterday or the day before, I read that in KZN, at the portfolio meeting there, the department, they came to the portfolio in KZN to tell them that they have used 124 million rand of the 150 million rand that was allocated for them for disaster funding. But it was just a day or two then later found out that they only spent 7 million rand. So, Chairperson, I think we need to, and that will come to my next point, to Treasury. I want to make a proposal, actually, that I think we need to get all these portfolios to come and do a proper presentation in a one-page thing led by COCTA. Because if you look at just the boreholes, and you mentioned the boreholes, I've been trying now for almost 8 months since that very first meeting. I can't remember when was that first meeting that we all chaired, and I wrote written questions to all the departments, all the relevant departments here today, to say, give me a list for your department. How many boreholes did you drill? Not in a bulk, 155 for Northwest. You know, we don't know if it was rural development, we don't know if it was agriculture, we don't know if it was water and sanitation, we don't know. Your department, how many boreholes did you drill? Where are they? GPS. I want to go and visit them, because I'm telling you, Chair, they were not drilled. I see rural development and land reform says they drilled, so it's there. 50 boreholes per district that was declared a drought disaster area. As far as my knowledge, every district in KZN was declared a disaster. I went there to the farmers all over the country. I asked them, were any boreholes drilled in your area that you are aware of? No. I know of 3 in KZN and I know of 7 in Northwest. So, Chair, I would want to make a proposal that we get that. If we don't get that, we call them all before SCOPA, and hopefully they will arrive, not like our minister from yesterday and the ministers from today who is not here. And then they must come and tell us, where did they spend this millions, billions? I see the Department of Water and Sanitation says, I think, 9 billion rand was spent. Where was it spent? Because our people, Chair, died of thirst in certain communities. Animals died in the millions in the communities out there. And we don't know, Chair, where the money was spent. That was now a long story, but I want us to get a proper presentation per department, how many of what was done where, what amount was the cost, and the GPS on the feet, on the boreholes, on the whatever, the water tanker, carters, everything, so that we know properly. Then, Chairperson, there was a slide on COCTA that says agriculture spent 226 million rand out of that Lima Lesima and the other funds. The same was done by the agriculture department, that's fine. As far as I'm aware, during the, October month, the adjustment budget period, another 212 million rand was given, and Treasury has confirmed it, but there's not a word of it in this document from COCTA and from agriculture. You only speak about the 226. That was the first tranche, the money that was used from agriculture itself, from Lima Letsima and COAS funding. So where is the 212? Not a word, Chair. So I don't know if they're coming here to tell us untruths or old stories or whatever, or they don't know that money was given from Treasury to the Department of Agriculture for drought relief. Then, Chairperson, on rural development, there's a slide 4, that says summary of approved provincial allocations for drought relief, and then there's nice little stories telling us what they did in all the provinces. But I would like to know how much of that funding was actually spent, because that's another problem, Chair. If you look just at the Department of Agriculture, where they did say how much was spent, 57% of the 2015-16, it was definitely not 16-17, allocation was spent during the drought, while millions of animals died. Northern Cape has spent 0%. Zero. How can you spend 0% while animals are dying? People are dying. There's a disaster out there, and you're still talking about how are you going to spend it. I just think it's unacceptable, and I again apologize for leaving before I even get. I don't think I request. I don't want answers, Chair. There's no answers. They must come back and give us a proper report.
Mrs. Beck.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to concur with what my colleague said with regard to the boreholes and the water tankers. We need to know exactly what was spent where, the actual area. I mean, Chair, I have a huge, I'm certainly hoping that I'm reading all these reports incorrectly, but if I look at this first report that we've got, and it gives the breakdown per department, if I add up the amount per department, I get a total amount spent in KZN alone of a minimum of 977 million rand. I actually stopped counting when I got to that point. That's in one province alone. So I'm not sure about the reliability of the information in these documents, firstly. Because if I look at this first presentation we got, on the page where it shows us the Department of Rural Development and Land Reforms expenditure, and then if I go to that same department's report, the two reports don't speak to each other. And this seems to be the general theme in all these presentations. The reports are not speaking to each other. This one says, in KZN, the expenditure was 39.1 million. But in the department's one, it says 177 million. Northwest DR says 146 million. This one says 77 million. And it's the same for every single province. So none of these documents are speaking to each other. So which one is the truth? Which is reliable? Which one should we read? Which one should we take as actual? It's a huge problem for me, Chair. This one, this is the Department of Forest and Agriculture, page 14. I could be a little, math was not my strong point at school, but really, if I add up that column that says functional and I go down, I get 195. Here it says 66. I don't know. It's a problem. It's a problem. Which really then calls to, you know, the credibility of the information in any of these presentations, Chair. I have to question it. This land reform, I think it was the land reform one. No, it was agriculture. Where are they giving us that report of what was given to each area to the farmers? And then in that in column it says they cannot give us the list because they're still busy with it. Chair, on the page prior to that, it says that the distribution was done according to a list, provincial list of farmers. So how can that information not be available? Where is that list of farmers? I think it's like 9,000 or something if they're quoting. Where is that list? Can we have that list per province of every single farmer that was assisted, please? If they have that, if they say they've got a list, where is it? We need that information. This other status report thing, page 33, there's a report on Mpumalanga. I worked a lot in that area. I live in Mpumalanga. I worked in Mkondo, and I can tell you they had water shortages all the time in Mkondo. And it's got nothing to do with drought or very little to do with drought and everything to do with the lack of infrastructure. Amsterdam has regular water shortages, and I can tell you the reason. Their storage, their facilities, the reservoirs are not maintained. They're not monitored. The telemetry system doesn't work. Those reservoirs run dry because there's no water filling them up. Shlushluwe, I visited that area many times. There's a big problem in Shlushluwe. I actually attended the JLC meeting hosted by the province. Our national department was there as well. There's a first farmer downstream that is receiving his full allocation of water, despite the water restrictions. Gee, I'm sure I've even reported it to this committee before. There was supposed to have been a booster pump that was supposed to have been installed at the dam. I'd like to know if that booster pump was ever installed, and what is happening with the restrictions on the irrigation restrictions. Because when you have a drought situation, your regular allocation of water is falls away. There are water restrictions in place, but they have not been implemented. And then this Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency of COGTA. I would actually like to get a better indication from them, Chair. Has a proper analysis been done to indicate that they can perhaps give to us the state of the infrastructure in the municipalities which are hardest hit by the drought? I would like to be able to do a comparison between the state of the infrastructure and the effects of the drought in those areas. And my case in point, the reason I'm asking this, Ward 31 in Itsekweni municipality in KZN, that ward is an absolute disgrace at the moment. They have got the harshest water restrictions in probably the whole of Itsekweni. That's your Muskay, Sydenham, Overfort, Asheville area. Despite the fact that the Umgeni system has now been stabilized, why is that particular area still having such severe water restrictions? And I can tell you the answer already, Chair, is because of lack of infrastructure. But I would like to get the department to answer that one, please. And the disaster grants. I think we also need to get an indication of which municipalities have benefited from these grants, from the provincial and the municipal disaster grants, and how much and what that money was used for. Hazelmere Dam, my pet project as always. I'm sure we received a report earlier this year, could have been last month, that the level was being maintained below 65% to safeguard the construction on the raising of the dam wall. Now we're told that the level is sitting at about 95%. I want to know what kind of effect is that having on the construction. And we were also told that construction had been halted for some reason or the other. Could I get a better idea, please? Has that water level been maintained? Is that level, is that construction still ongoing? And then lastly, Chair, given the decline in the quantity of water during the drought period, is it still a feasible intervention measure to drill boreholes? If we know that during a drought, your water level is going to drop and then it takes longer to sustain, to rise up again, is it seriously cost-effective, feasible to drill boreholes during a drought period? Surely we need to look at the feasibility of it and the cost-effectiveness versus the results that we get. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Bassa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just would also like to add that these documents do not speak to each other. Figure-wise, it doesn't count up, but I won't dwell on that. I want to go to the desalination plant in Richards Bay. Chair, and just allow me, I just need clarity before I ask my question with Mr. Bulger. This document says they've paid 290 million rand for desalination plant. My question is it for 3.5 megalitre plant, or does it add up the new three additional models as well? The cost, can I just get clarity on that before I ask my question, Chairperson?
Just give me the slide number, please.
It was on the funding expenditure, the last slide you dealt with on the desalination plant. It hasn't got a... It should be 17, yeah. The question is, the 290.7 million, for how many megalitres per day?
Chair, the plant that's being installed is a 10 megalitre plant.
10 megalitre plant.
10 megalitre plant, yes.
Right. Chairperson, we've done some homework, we've asked questions on it, it's correct. I was not sure because it says here, on the documentation I got it's a 10 megalitre plant. The tender was given to a person that does refuse removal in that area. He got the tender to import a plant. A South African plant manufactured in South Africa, giving work to people in South Africa, 10 megaliter plant put up in Richards Bay is 165 million rand. We pay 290 million rand for 10 megaliter plants. He said, Chairperson, they steal, someone has stolen more than 130 million rand of taxpayers' money. Now, Chair, this is unacceptable. And Chair, it's not the norm. It's $1,200 per megaliter to build a plant. That's per cubic meter, sorry, to build a plant. That's the country's norm. I got a quotation for a plant like that. And the same company that gave me a plant has put up a plant in Richards Bay now, also completed for one of the big industrial companies in that area. So, Chairperson, I'm not happy. You know, he's telling me that, yes, we have followed National Treasury's regulations to make sure. But, you know, I can appoint a South African company and I can bring in a plant. We could not find the tender document where this plant was tendered for people in South Africa. There's about four or five companies in South Africa, four I know of, that is capable of building these plants. They even export these plants to Singapore. But we import plants. The second question, Chairperson, relates to the tankering. Now, Chairperson, I know we're going to deal with it on Friday if the minister pitches up. But it seems now it's a norm ministers don't pitch up when they are summoned before portfolio committees. The department indicates here they withdrawn their tankers, while they indicate to us that the municipalities, there's looting of infrastructure in municipalities so that tankers can be paid. Now, you've mentioned Maribeng. There's a report I requested on investigating on Maribeng, which they've started, they have not completed. They spend more than 2 million rand a month on paying tankers. That tankers are getting water out the same source, out of the same purification plant, and distributed to people that 2 years previously had running water at their houses. So, why do you withdraw your tankers? Why don't you ask the municipality to pay you for your tankers and get rid of the private tankers? Because those are the people that's colluding with our officials and damaging our infrastructure. And then on Gatling River, we heard you withdrawn your tankers while the systems were not working. So, there was no discussions with the municipalities on the way forward. You withdraw your tankers and people still sit without water and the dam is 100% full. That's unacceptable. Chairperson, I get the sense that all these departments, they don't know how to spend money. If you go and look how much money, and National Treasury has indicated how much money has been made available, it's not even been used. In our own department, I would like to see the end of this financial year, how much of this so-called 2.9 billion that is still available, which will be spent and which will be returned back unspent to National Treasury. Chairperson, then the last issue I want to raise is the Voëlvlei Dam. I wrote a letter, Chairperson. I was informed that you have received the letter, which I wrote to the Minister. We don't have water in the Western Cape. The Voëlvlei Dam, the catchment area in the Voëlvlei Dam, it's full of sand. That water goes down the river, it does not go to the Voëlvlei Dam. There was numerous requests to the department and the regional department to rectify this problem. You've got the window opportunity now before the rain comes to clean up those canal systems that's full of sand. I did oversight there. I can show you the photos. I can take you there if you haven't been there. It is a disaster. The dams has been built there. 2 meters, 3 meters deep. It's full of sand, Chair. So if it starts to rain tomorrow, that water will not go into the canal system, it will not reach the Voelvlei Dam, and there is millions and millions and millions spent on that system to get water. It does not just support Cape Town with water, Malmesbury, Porterville, all those areas are getting water out of that system. That water will just run to the sea because there's no maintenance, and the officials of this department in this province, they just don't care. And see, we need to get answers. I had no further choice than there was numerous discussions with the manager in the Western Cape, and he's just ignoring this problems. And then we've got no choice to ask the minister for intervention on this matter. So, Chair, I will leave it with that. But really, Chair, I think the departments don't take this portfolio committee serious. You've asked a question, Chair, and I come back to it. What does it cost us per meter? Don't tell me some boreholes. I don't want to know what's the price of a borehole, because some boreholes will be 100 meters, other boreholes will be 50 meters. What are you paying per meter to drill? And who are drilling this for us? You know, Jay, I try to find out. And all fingers shows back to Seri Beng. If you want to drill a borehole in the Free State, speak to Seri Beng. If you want to drill it in Gauteng, speak to Seri Beng. You won't get either water board or the department. It all fingers shows back to Seri Beng. Why? Are they the specialist in drilling in this department? Chair, and it does not resolve. We're going to leave this meeting once again without knowing about boreholes. Where are they? How many are they? What is it costing us? Who's the people drilling it for us? At what price? So that we can compare what is it costing in the market. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mbuna.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know, our role as committees here is to do oversight over the departments and the executive. But what is challenging, Chairperson, is that without any proper, reliable, validated information, it is very difficult to do oversight. Without the same information that's reliable, it's very difficult to improve the service delivery on the ground down there. Isn't it that even the report that they are giving us there has to be testified by the same people on the ground down there? If we're given unreliable information, when we go down there, the people are going to revolt, protest, because the things that they are giving us is not happening down there. COPTA is a coordinating department. I from the report, I could feel that no, you did not meet with the other departments when you had to come here. Given that when you read the other departments' reports, different figures and different information has been deliberated. What you have is totally different from what the other department have. I will make one or two examples. You know, in your report, I don't know what page is that one, you say it's number reported funding expended. You say under operational and infrastructure, which operational does you include provision of water tankers. When you look at Mpumalanga there, you did not put anything up until infrastructure in 2016-2017, water tanking. But we saw this water tanking in Mpumalanga. In the previous years, we have been seeing this. You did not put that information. On the meetings, I don't know whether these are different kinds of meetings. When the Department of Rural Development was presenting, it indicated that they were meeting under the NJDCC on Mondays. But your report is saying you were meeting monthly. You're meeting monthly. So the verification of this is questionable. And then on the key challenges, you mentioned the key challenges, but you did not indicate the preventative measures to deal with those measures on page 11. Hey, the issue of vandalism, we cannot always hide behind this thing. People are vandalizing, people are stealing, theft. There's a bill that was passed today. What are you doing? How do you implement it? Because our role is to make sure that bills are passed, acts are there, policies are there. What is your role? Do you have any way to implement what we've done? Because we say vandalism, what is it that you are doing to make sure that those who are vandalizing are caught? That means we won't finish, we won't end up this issue of tinkering. Because sometimes we know these are the people who are vandalizing, who are stealing, so that their business must keep on working. You see, what is it that you are doing? I don't want to get much to the... I'm not happy the way you have done it, Coctor. You were supposed to come here with an updated report, calling the department before you came here, other departments, because and consolidate the information. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Manyoni.
And thanks for the presentations. Chairperson, I still think we have a problem here, like lack of maintenance that leads to crisis, not only the natural issues that we are looking into in terms of lack of rain. For instance, we did ask the department some time ago when they were making presentations about what measures are we implementing in mitigating on issues pertaining to drought. And the issue of desalination was brought up. But now we get a report that says that desalination program has taken place in Richards Bay and no any other area is being indicated. I think we need to know what are the other areas where we also implemented this program, because most of the dams basically have been full before rains. They've been full of sand. I can give an example about Mhokare, Caledon River areas. So I think we need to know which areas have we implemented this besides the Richards Bay. The second point is the issue of tinkering. The department needs to investigate this matter, particularly in Malutiapofu. It is a permanent fixture now. For 5 years, we've been having tinkering in that municipality. And I must indicate, Chairperson, in 2006, there has been a drought in the area, but tinkering was not a feature. Actually, the municipality built a pipeline from Sterkfontein to Fikapatso, and also for Mizi Matsu Dam. We are told, no, that pipeline is too small. It doesn't pump enough water. Therefore, we have to use tinkering. Even now, when the department has withdrawn its tankers, that municipality is still using tanks to provide water in the area. And I'm saying during the period of 2004-5-6, there has been drought in the area, and the municipality was not using tanks. But now it's a permanent fixture. For 5 years, We've been using a tankery. And that pipeline I'm referring to was commissioned, I think, in 2010. So it has been in existence just for a few years. And if it is true that the pipe is small, it can't provide enough water, I think then we must look into the issue of increasing the capacity of the pipe instead of using money for this tankering business that is taking place in Malutiapufu in Park. And I think the department must really look into this matter and give us a report what is happening in that area. Thanks, Chair.
Kaula?
Ngibonge Sihlalo. Ngibonge Nkosi yami labantu bakaNkulunkulu abafike la bethi bazosithulela. Hayi, mina Sihlalo ngempela angazi ukuthi ngizothina. Kwasho umfundisi esontweni ethi umuntu usumathi azothina. Hey, inkinga le. If uma kuzofika nabakaCoctail la besibathembile ukuthi ibona bona abazosinikeza umhlahlandlela noma kube yibona abazokwazi ukuthi basinikeze lento esiyifunayo, thole kwabona ukuthi bafana exactly nalabo esihleli sikilwa nabo. First number one, okokuqala nje, angizwe nakancane lento abayishoyo. Laphayana ku-page 5, khona la bakhuluma khona ngengqalazinto infrastructure, baphinde bakhulume khona ngokwamabhoholi amapitsi lapha yana Free State khona imali engango 10 million evelayo kubona, bese kuzothi lapha yana eMpumalanga kube khona imali engango 1.8 million. Umbuzo wami ukuthi ngoba lezi zinto ziyefana, yini le bakwazi ukuthi bahlukanise ukuthi i-Free State ithole lo 10 million, le iMpumalanga ithole lo 1.8 million? Ngiyadlula. Ukuthi angazi noma qala sisakhula bekukhona lento ethiwa iBantu Education. Kusazokake nisichazele ngelinye ilanga la noma inamhlanje noma manibuya ukuthi laka Water and Sanitation ikhona lento ekuthiwa iBantu Water and Sanitation. Ngoma uthi uyabheka lana, lezi nkinga zonke zikhungethe abantu bakithi abamnyama. Ngakusho ngigcina la ngathi angaze ngambona umlungu noma elunye uhlanga lubambe iqueue noma lishaye itoyitoyi khala ngamanzi. Abantu abanenkinga yamanzi, abanenkinga namathoyilethi abantu bakithi. Ethekwini ngiyezwa nje bencoma iTheku. iTheku linawo amanzi. And ngizocela uDJ lo ngemuva esifike lana khona ngo-2014 akwazi ukurekhode phansi ukuthi izinto esakhala ngazo sifika la noma mina engakhala ngazo zisenjengoba zinjalo eThekwini, akukhona nokoda kwakho okulungile. Yabona nje ka-VM Lazi umphakathi wakhona kuyimanje amanzi abanawo bayikhulula ehlathini. Eke nihlabe emxhweleni. Singene la ku-page 7. Lana khona enikhuluma ngamanzi enithi niyawathatha niwanikeza abantu bayaphuza. Umbuzo wami uthi niwathathaphi la manzi? Ngoba abantu ngoba amanzi awekho. Uhulumeni as a government sikhala ukuthi amanzi awekho. Aqhamukaphi la manzi? Ngikushiso yini lokho na? Kuke kwavela lana ku-403 la abantu bangapha e-Northwest benenkinga yamanzi alethwa ayitraki nothi varukatekani leni ejwayelekile itraki enojojo about 3 kanjalo phezulu. Thola ukuthi la manzi angcolile, amanye azaphuma ikadi. Ngisayiphinda leyo nto. Nikuphi nina lapho njengo-cocktail to make sure ukuthi abantu bathola amanzi ahlanzekile nokuthi impilo zabantu zibhekelekile ngamanzi. Ngiye lapha ezansi ngibuyele kuleyo jojo. Kuleyo jojo ngiyayiphika ngempela futhi ngulokhuzana upage 10 lapha. Leyo jojo singakhohlisani. Thina nikhuluma nathi thina siyanjalo kubantu. Impilo zabantu senza show ukuthi siyaya kubona siyazazi kuphi. O Jojo into eyenzakalayo. Batholwa yilabantu asukade bese bakhela umxhaso. Kuba umxhaso kube uJojo. Netoilet. Leli toilet nakhona elinukayo engekho ngisho ichemicals ukuthi ifakwe kufike indle namakindokhuzana neyimpukane neyilwane. Abekho labo Jojo. Amathanki awekho, amavaterkani ahambela abantu. Ma ifika once, nayo indizela le, isiza abantu abahamba ngomgwaqo. Ngingakuthatha nami futhi ngithasambeni phakathi nensuku, ubona umgwaqo nje ushona ezansi, mhlawumbe phansi oshona ebridgeni, kuneyipakipakwe o ama-empty drum, abantu balindele imoto. Yothi uyabuya silofica kunjalo. Ayikho lento enishoyo. And lento yompompi. Yes, bakhona kwezinye indawo. Kwezinye indawo abekho nhlobo. Nalabo abakhona abanamanzi. Abantu basaqhubeka baphuza amanzi aneyilwane emfuleni. Angazi-ke noma lento yebantu water sanitation ikhona yini. So nongitshela. Bese ngiza lapha yana kunkosazana yami ekhuluma ngabalimi. Eyi, mangase ngisho nje ngokuhlonipha ngoba ngeke ngishithi ninamanga. Amampunge. Uyabona kubuhlungu ukuba ugovernment noma kubuhlungu ukuba yithina. Ngoba egcineni gcina abantu beshaya itoyitoyi beshayela ugovernment. Ngezinto ezenziwa yile minyango le yakhe. Ngoba no-cocktail akakwazi ukwenza show ukuthi lezi zinto ezithi ziyaya ziya ngempela nibantu. Sihlalo sami ngifuna ungilalele kahle. Yes, akhona la ma-project. But la ma-project ngesikhathi uma eseya kubantu. Benza kanje. Angithi la ibhodlela lamanzi ligcwele siyophuzisa abantu. Bona baqhamuka sebephethe abantu bona qobo labo abazothi uma befika kuthi kuthele kubona mhlambe endaweni thola ukuthi kudla abantu abawu-3 kodwa le project ibiyelethelwe abantu abathathu umphakathi njalo wodwa ngizonenzela i-example bali KZN Pemba yamqinisile ngiyawazi emthandeni kwaQwabe emansomini esinampini ibili project laphayana. Yahlaza kwakuhle, kwajabula nombani. Ekubendwa mphakathi buyifuyela iy'nkomo, uyiphilela ngey'nkomo zawo, uzilimele ukudla kwawo. Kwakuphoxa ukuthi iy'nkomo zabo yibuyele eceleni. Kwangena lezi moba. After 5 years lezi zimoba, seyiphelile namanzi awasekho, namuntu imfuyo yakhe ayisekho. Yaphinda futhi ayakadakadaka. Ngisekhona kaQwabo. Mayifika futhi kaQwabo. Okay, yenza very same thing nakhona. Yahamba manje sisemthandeni, ziyaphuma njalo imali ze-state. And kubuhlungu mayiphuma le mayifika le project. Umphakathi awugeni lutho. Awubi nawo amanzi okuphuza, amanzi akhona okuchelela lezi zimoba. Masihambile project amanzi abanawo ukuthi baze baqhubekeke bayitshalele baphile ngendlela abaphila ngayo. EZululand njengoba ngikhuluma nawe nje eMandeni under inkosi Mathabo kune project yeni futhi as a government ekuthiwa ibheka mafa trust le project ibi right inamanzi na yonke into kuyimanje abantu bakhona banamanzi ngisho abahlali amanzi abawasebenzayo wedamu amanzi akhona asevaliwe yini eyenza ukuthi nina mangabe niyisa lezi zinto as a government.
Bongile.
Ningayimonitha ukuthi ziya kahle lapha.
Bongile.
Ngiyacela nje sihlalo lilonke ukuthi abunga reporta la izinto abangenabo ufakazi bathi nasihaya phansi kubantu abanawo abantu amanzi
sizaphinda sibuye senze enye round ungatolika.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was quite a lot, but I'll try to summarize it. What is the root cause there on page 5? What is the root cause for budget variation, i.e. in Free State, 10 million was allocated, and yet in Mpumalanga it was 1.8 million, yet the work undertaken is of equal magnitude, i.e. installation of boreholes and livestock. 2. I would like to know from our guests, where are you sourcing the water? Because we are told that in South Africa there is a shortage of water. And also it is alleged that you also sell water. Where are you getting this water? Case in point is the Northwest community, where it is reported that they were supplied with diluted or dirty water, if you like. It was flighted on channel 403, and I would like to get clarity on that. In cases of RDP houses, people are provided with JoJo tanks and are provided with RDP houses, but there is no water. Therefore, what you're saying is that it doesn't help if they're going to be provided with RDP houses and JoJo tanks if there's not going to be supply of water. She also spoke referring to one of the presenters who spoke on the issue of farming, that she is embarrassed to say that what she was presenting is far from the truth. She says that in farming communities, people are coerced to participate in projects, but there's budgets allocated for that, but the direct recipient or people who are supposed to be direct recipient are not benefiting from those projects. In other words, it's certain class of people that benefit, but the intended recipient do not benefit. In conclusion, Chairperson, she also referred to a Gwabe area in KwaZulu-Natal where 36 million was allocated by government, but people are yet to benefit from that project. In Bekama for Trust in Zululand, under the leadership of Inkosi Mataba, 50 million was injected into that trust, but the participants are at loggerheads as we speak. Communities divided due to corruption, and people are still consuming unclean water. And under the, okay, she also referred to the last point. She's saying that under the Bantu education system, there was that classification, and she wants to know, in as far as water is concerned, is there classification in terms of water that is put aside for certain race and water that is put aside maybe for black people or for white people? Because as we speak, it seems that there is that classification which amounts to injustice. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Shoghi?
No, Chair, I'm going to want to deal with the way forward now. I will not have a question because I think most of the issues colleagues have raised. Maybe I'll deal with the way forward after the response. Or maybe I can attempt, maybe Chair, to come into this point.
Before you get to deal with the way forward, which we shall deal with later. Very briefly, the matter related to climate change and some of the mitigation programs which we are not benefiting from, despite the fact that there is a green fund out there, which literally requires government and NGOs to put up such programs to be part of this mitigation strategy, especially in the rural areas. Now, this is money that is not in your fiscus. This is money that is elsewhere that can be made use of. To come up with those mitigation programs in the rural areas, in the main, we don't hear much of that. It would be very interesting to get to hear what the department has in store alongside with the Environment Department, which is the lead agency in this regard. The last point from where I am seated, I should deal with the department at one point did give us an indication about the figure in terms of cost of your refurbishment of our infrastructure in the country. If we can get that figure again, and also whether or not we have been moving from that figure to where we are now, given all these challenges that we have. Of course, the point has been raised quite prominently about the boreholes. Without having to be referred to, you know, it will depend, and all of those, looking at how varying the costs can be, I read somewhere where it talks about 60 boreholes costing anything that is about 16 million rands, as opposed to 15 boreholes that cost about 17 million rands. The simple response I would imagine in that regard would be that it will depend, you know, on the conditions, either, you know, how far down do you dig and the land, whether it is rocky and all the engineering works and so on and so forth. I think at some point we need to be able to get, you know, specific norms and standards, especially now that we have literally everyone very keen on boreholes, whether it is to be your provinces, your private, you know, public, rural development, agriculture itself, and water and sanitation. Everyone seemingly is doing boreholes. But this is a matter that is not standardized. And where shall it reside, that standardization? Okay, we can begin from National Treasury. And then we come with water and sanitation and so on and so forth.
As we
respond, if we can be prompt without any preamble and introduction and all of those. Question one relates to this. This is a response.
So the only question directed specifically to the Treasury was the question from Honourable Wake about spending on disaster grants. So we've had no spending on the municipal and the provincial disaster grants. So the Department of Cooperative Governance chose not to use the immediate relief grants for drought relief.
Water and sanitation?
I think just on the desalination, I think we can submit information to this committee relating to the areas where we are desalinating. It's a new technology, and I've heard that maybe the one that is happening in Richards Bay is too costly, and there's another technology and so on. Now, we really don't know. I mean, this is a new thing, and of course, it would be advisable. It would be, of course, we take the advice that maybe we need to check the various technologies, and then maybe go for the one that's cost effective. But sometimes the most cost effective may not be the most effective. So it's a new technology, Chair, but I think the concern raised that maybe the service, the PSP on the ground is too expensive and so on, maybe we would just want to follow up on that to check if it was happening. But I know that there's also a bit of desalination that's happening in Durban, but we'll present a full report on where desalination is happening. Trevor, you want
to... Thanks, TG. Thanks, Chair. I'll just run quickly as through the items which I picked up for the department. Honourable Steyn raised the issue of boils, and then I won't touch on it again. But I thought, Chair, that we had in fact answered to a query that was raised on boreholes in terms of National Assembly question number 2364, 28 October 2016, where we actually responded to some of the queries that had been formally raised around the boreholes. But what we'll do, we'll just check, see whether that response covers all of the aspects which were raised today, if you wouldn't mind allowing us to do that. Honourable Baker, if I have it correctly, had a question around Hazelmere that we reported that was 65% and kept there for construction reasons. Why now 91%? Reason being that we've sufficiently made progress with the construction on the lower levels and are able to take it safely up to 91%. So we haven't compromised the safety of the construction. I'm certainly not aware that construction has stopped on the project. But I'll follow up on that as well. Question also further by Honourable Baker, is it feasible to still drill boreholes during the drought? Yes, indeed it is. If you look at our National Water Resources strategy in terms of the water mix going forward, currently we use 9% of our water comes from boreholes, and in the longer term we want to increase that to 18%. So it is feasible. What it does, however, mean that when you drill during a drought period, you might have to drill a bit deeper. But it is feasible to do that. Honourable Besson, I think the DG has touched on the issue of desalination. We did do some comparison with the desalination plant which has been installed by South 32 at the Hillside Smelter in Richards Bay. It's a two megalitre plant, cost them 74 million rand, and we thought that our costs were quite comparable. But if you've got different costs, I'd suggest you provide those to the DG and we can have a look at them. But our cost comparison with what South 32 did at Hillside seemed to be in the right order. Just also an issue there, you mentioned a South African company that did Hillside is actually a company by the name of Newater, who are part of the SemCorp group, who have their headquarters in Singapore. Kettling, the tanker services, I just indicated that I gave an anecdotal reference to the tankers in the way they were being used and indicated that DPME were going to investigate it further. So I could not be, mine is only anecdotal evidence, and the reference to tankers being withdrawn and they should be put into those municipalities, the tankers which we have withdrawn will actually remain and be transferred to the municipalities in KZN where they've been working. Full Flay Dam, DG Chair, I'll follow up on the maintenance issues on the Full Flay Dam as raised by Honourable Besson. Boreholes I've covered. Honourable Nguni, I think most of those issues were COCTA-related issues which you raised. Honourable Manyoni, the issue of Malutia Pofong, I have taken note, DG, of the pipeline there and the point made by Honourable Manyoni with regard to the need to upgrade that pipeline. I do believe that our regional office in the Free State or provincial office have been looking at that, so we'll just check, see on progress on that as well. The dam on the Caledon River, which Honourable Manyoni referred to, is the Velbedag Dam. And in fact, now while we had the flood coming through down the Caledon, we opened the gates on the on that dam to try and move some of the silt out. So we are doing some silt management as we move on as well. So it is an issue that's on our radar screen to deal with silt in those dams. Honourable Kaula, I'll just deal with one question from Honourable Kaula, and which is related to water quality and whether there's a different standard of quality applied to different sectors of society. The answer is no. We only have a single water quality standard for South Africa. It doesn't discriminate against different sectors of society. Chair, the comment you made about the Green Climate Fund, DG would have to just come back on that unless Deborah's got some information on the Green Climate Fund. The only one that I have some information on, and it relates to the question, in fact, which Honourable Mignoni raised around siltation, and that would be the work that we do together with DEA on the UNCCD stuff, and that's the land neutral degradation target setting, where we'd be looking at the issue of siltation. But that also has a funding mechanism through the particular conference of parties for the UNCCD, which we are working with DEA on. And I think I've covered them all, Chair. So Chair, I haven't touched on the Green Climate Fund, but I've referred to another funding mechanism, which is the one through the UNCCD around land-neutral degradation and the target settings. But we'll come back, DG, on the other fund, specifically the Green Climate Fund mechanism.
Just to end on Malu Diapofuma again, we agree with the member that the solution there is not tinkering. It should really be just to put in the pipes. It might be more cost effective to put the pipes than the tinkering. It's just for that area, really, it's about the pipe. But having said that, we also need to, and I have leather cocktails also.
So which area is that? Where are these people? But where are they? Okay, sorry, which area are you referring to?
Parliament is a construction site.
Sorry?
The about Malu Diapofu. Yes. As raised by a member, Mignoni, we agree that there the solution is not tinkering, but just to put in a pipe. But I think that I must also, you know, just put it to the members here that as water and sanitation, we are going to have to take very difficult decisions, because we often go and intervene on infrastructure that is within the municipalities, and really that's not our area. And we tend to spend a lot of money intervening in the intra-municipal, within the municipalities, the infrastructure that's not happening. And that makes us lose focus on our core business. So we're going to be withdrawing a lot from those kinds of interventions, so that then COCTA through MIG and other grants, they can assist the municipalities.
Can we get text responding? Just can we get the copter, agriculture, everybody? Can we respond to the? Can we give them first? Let's get the round of response first. And you can come in, buddy.
Thank you very much, honourable members. On the questions that relate to copter, The first one that I'll deal with is the question of the norms and standards that need to be set around the issue of boreholes. Just to say, we will take this matter up with our stakeholders involved in this, so that we have an improved way of managing it. Similarly, on the question of applying the back-to-basics approach and, of course, utilizing MISA to supporting infrastructure maintenance to avoid water losses and other challenges. This is a method that is already included in the back-to-basics approach. What we just need to obviously do is to ensure that there's improvement on it. And we're already doing some work in this area with the MISA leadership. There was also an issue about non-reference to the allocation of 212 million. I think this came from Honorable Stein. non-reference to allocation of 212 million. Honorable members, this is there. If you look at slide 9, you will see how the allocation of 212 million has been apportioned to provinces, and I think it's a matter that just needs to be noted. The issue about non-alignment of information as presented by COGTA and the sectors. If you look at slides that are bearing item 5, members will notice that we declare and even underline there that this information is subject to change as implementation of the projects are ongoing. So we receive information, but we obviously are dependent on, the latest information that will come from the sectors. So sometimes it might be that new information is received and we didn't have, that information. There's also, this is also about from Honorable Basson. It's also about information that do not reconcile. I think I've already addressed that. On the issue of the tenders, there's been a response. There's also from Honorable Mguna. It's also about the information. It's also to say we receive information, but projects are being implemented. As such, there's a possibility that there can be a variation of the information as presented. But we always endeavor to make sure that we have the very latest information. The issue of lack of maintenance and that we have not spelled out mitigation measures, as we have been working, we prepared this presentation according to the brief. We will ensure that we take this into consideration as when we prepare for future updates to the portfolio committee. So we agree with that and it will be taken into consideration. There was a question about leadership. This we are taking care of. Chair raised the issue about working in collaboration with DIA. We work closely with DIA on these issues. As you know, issues of adaptation and disaster risk management are inextricably linked. Currently, we operate within, besides our disaster management legislation, we operate within what you call the Sendai framework for disaster reduction, and that requires of us to adopt ecosystems-based measures to disaster reduction, implying that we have to make sure that we use funding that is allocated within the in terms of the UNFCCC, the Paris Agreement, to adapt as a country using the ecosystems as the measure for adaptation. So we are also doing some work on this. There's currently a draft adaptation strategy which is being consulted upon, which is basically going to upscale our adaptation measures. The issue of non-spending on emergency grant, let me just update members that indeed we were not able to use or access funding that we used for water and sanitation and for agriculture from the emergency grant because the amounts are not sufficient, could not cover the cost, that the amount that was required. If you look on item 9, you can see where we state that we could not use the emergency grants because the amounts are small, and therefore we accessed what we call funds from what we call the unforeseen and unavoidable. But let me also indicate that currently for the windstorms that occurred in OR Tambo, we are going to access or requesting about 114 million from the provincial disaster grant allocation in order to deal with the situation there. So generally, honorable members, we appreciate these inputs. We consider them useful as we strive to improve on the system, but we also seek your indulgence on the issue of a continual improvement or changes to the information, as we depend on work that is happening on the ground, and we don't always have the very latest, but we'll always work hard to improve on the quality of our information. Thank you very much.
So just a quick one, if I noted you, Mr. Speaker. The government has been participating in this UNFCCC conferences. That is now your conference of parties for quite some time now. If I remember, as soon as I got here, 2009, participating in the agriculture space. It's then that I got wind of a number of these initiatives and programs. But clearly, even before, government has been participating. I cannot understand why you are still planning at this stage. Yet there is funding out there and our communities out there in the rural areas. They need these interventions, either from a mitigation point of view against drought and adaptation point of view. And there is money out there. All what we are expected to hear out of such a session, what type of programs, how are you coordinating? Not what your plans are. You've been planning forever. Government continues to fail us. Why? The issues are so straightforward. The report out of the UNFCCC conference is out there of COP22, COP21, COP20. They're talking about the same issues. It is for government to come up with programs that are implemented, not to be told of plans forever. It must not be a business as usual scenario wherein the issues are noted. They are to be noted forever. But work has to be happening on the ground. All what we are interested in here is to hear what programs are you having. Leave alone the duplication, leave alone the costs, exorbitant costs of a borehole, leave alone the Richards Bay desalination plant that is quite excessive in terms of cost. What programs are there? How do you coordinate all of those so that you avoid duplication? That's why we have to call on all of these departments. Because we want to really nip it in the bud to avoid duplication. The Minister of Finance says money is not an issue. Question is capacity to spend that money. That's what we are observing here as we speak. Mr. Chaga?
No, thanks, Chair. I can hear that the Chair is now getting to the level that I wanted to come at the end, Chair. But I think just to help the process, Chair, is that earlier when we checked the attendance of this meeting, it was clear that the levels of what we expected were not here. We are DGs. Is because when Parliament met at this level of accountability and having requested the DGs to present themselves is because we have to take a decision in a meeting of this nature and make a recommendation to Parliament for Parliament to approve, because it's not just a normal complaining session that we meet for the sake of meeting. Some colleagues have just arrived from Joburg this morning from departments. They did not come here for honeymoon, neither entertainment. It's accountability that we're dealing with. Now, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee are complaining that this department are not taking us serious. I think let's agree, Chair, that let it be for the last time that we get into this exercise, that department, when they come here, they are not coordinated. We expected, Chair, that the COPTA, as the leader of drought relief in particular, will be the champion of making sure that the report that they present is updated, it's a correct report with proper information. Hence the question that we asked was that, is this report prepared to be presented today? If so, obvious, we'll have picked up current information and update your report. It was going to make it easy because we're going to deal with current issues, then we can then be able to make your recommendations to the House. Now, the archive of the department just make one mistake, in fact, and it's a very big mistake that you have just made, sir, that Sordrachens is going to be an issue. Sordrachens, I'll tell you why. As long as we're still here, some of us who come from that area, we're going to make it an issue, nothing else. The dam that you talk about that is 100% full, that dam is full of mud. That dam was never prepared. The dam is full of mud. There's no water there. So don't come and lie here and say that the dam is full and being an expert. In fact, that knows very well that that dam is full of mud. You know it. That dam was never prepared. Not long ago here, we had the municipality that confirms that the water is currently evaporating. By the end of next month, in fact, we'll have less water there. And you know it's a fact, and you come and tell us that there's water there. Now, Chair, what must happen, Chair, is that we must task this department, led by the DG, which I want to appreciate, the fact that the DG of Water is here with us, and I want to applaud you that you are here, because you have taken the issue of Parliament accountability very seriously. That, Chair, you must give instructions, Chair, that this department that we have invited here today, Chair, at the level of DGs, they must go and meet, Chair. They must meet and prepare us a proper, detailed report, updated report, Chair. So that so that when we make a recommendation, I will tell you, because we have already identified the issues of bones, we have identified the issues of tracking, all of them, they're informed by nothing else but drought relief, all of them. The tracking is about drought relief. But if you had to go deeper, it's about issues of infrastructure. If you had to go to Madibeng, the issue is not about drought there. It's infrastructure. Honorable Basson raises a point here. He says that some streams that are full of sand and all of that, someone was supposed to have gone there and cleaned up those streams before the Western Cape rain starts. It's an issue. You know, now I'm saying, therefore, Chair, that for us to be taken serious, it's when we begin to weep. You know, I'm the whip of the committee, this committee here, meaning that the ANC has deployed me to be the whip of this committee. So it means I'm not going to allow neither this committee to be led or to be undermined by anyone. So we are going to build a partnership, and a very strong partnership, between this department's Chair and ourselves. We're not going to be having this fighting all the time, this fighting mood. I think even yourself, officials, when you come here, you're like, we now know, we're going to present for 5 minutes, then we go, they're going to make noise, those members, they're old, after that they eat muffins there and fruits, they're going to sleep in the chamber. This is what we know. Let's just agree that it's not going to happen again. You know, the Chair is at pain to try and point us to a direction. And the direction is simple. Drought relief programs, coordination of drought relief programs. The issues of resources comes very sharply here. There's money there, money is not being spent. Gauteng had to declare its own drought. Gauteng had to declare its own drought because for 2 years there was no support for that municipality. For 2 years there was not water. The issue of tank came really very late. There was no water in Gauteng for 2 years. The municipality declared drought. Not a cent that went to that municipality. Not a cent that went to that municipality. They are now taking money that is money for services, trying to fix up the dam that the gentleman now says that that dam is full. That department has never put a cent there in Gauteng. You know it. They have never put a cent there. Don't come and celebrate that the dam is full there. You see? Now, things are going to be done in the right way. Partnership will raise this issue. Honorable Basson keep on writing letters every day. It's frustration because, DG, I think you take this note, DG, that when members raise these issues, it's not because they're just excited wanting to raise. There's frustration, DG. The department is not responding accordingly. The only thing we learn about this department is headlines that we read about every weekend. Headlines of mismanagement, corruption, all the time. That will have to come to an end, DG. It had to come to an end. It reflects very bad. Mam Kaula is correct that, you know, it's nothing else but, you know, issues of mismanagement and all of that. Let's agree, Chair, that we task the department that are here, not to say go back, but please just go and prepare a more detailed information, updated, and it must be presented at the highest level, DG, at your level of DGs. When the chair has issued out an invite, that invite must be honored. It cannot be that a particular DG decided that I'm not going to come because there are other agent matters. What is the issue of water? Water is very central to the development of this country. Water is very central to the well-being of all South Africans. Anything that lives in South Africa depends on water. So I want to insist, Chair, that we invite the DG. We'll try and allocate time, Chair. I know that your schedule is very tight, but I'm making this proposal, Chair, that let's have them at the highest level. In fact, we're supposed to have them at the minister's level if we're to deal with issues of accountability proper. It's ministers that are accountable to Parliament. DGs are answerable to their ministers. So we have to, Chair, escalate this engagement. For us to find common, lasting solution, it's when we cooperate and work together. Unless, Chair, this committee will have to be, we can go to Parliament and say there's no need for this committee to exist if we are not being taken seriously. But we need to put our foot down, colleagues. It cannot be forever, this Hollywood that we see here. All of us, we are now turning into pop stars. We're not pop stars. We're elected for a period of time. And our people on the ground, I come from Gauteng. That's my hometown, Gauteng, the sort of health that you are talking about there. When community don't have water, they don't go anywhere. They look at the Member of Parliament. And this Member of Parliament sits here, does everything, same exercise, beautiful suits, ties, food in Parliament. Communities outside there, there's nothing. So it must come to an end, Chair. I'm saying that the role that we're going to play ourselves here will be to make sure that all these departments are accountable. It's not only water and sanitation that is accountable to this portfolio committee. Any department that is being called upon is accountable, and we must account accordingly. If they fail, Chair, once we've invited them, Chair, nothing stops us to make a recommendation for them to be removed. Nothing stops us. We make a recommendation to Parliament and we state reasons. Or we issue out summons for them to appear before the portfolio committee. So those are options that are there, Chair, and I think we need to move to that mood now because it cannot be business as usual when we every day deal with issues of, you know, water all the time. It's sort of something that is boring. Since I've joined this portfolio committee, it's almost a year now, it becomes so much boring that with some of us and the energy and the capacity that we have to come and sit and listen to all of these things sometimes. It's just embarrassing, in fact. So it had to come to an end. It had to come to an end, Chair. So my proposal are those ones, Chair, that we have to have this thing properly coordinated. Treasury must give us, in fact, all the funds that are available. And those DGs, in fact, must be given all that what is available from Treasury. When they come and account here, the Chair has already touched on the issue of green funds and all of that. That report must speak about those funds too, as you present it to the committee. You must speak about how are we tapping into the green fund, how are we tapping into the grants that are allocated by National Treasury. The next thing that we are going to be doing is that we're going to be making noise. This treasury does not work. This treasury does not give us money. When money is lying there, and we end up taking this thing and said, that Minister Pravin Gordhan is not pro-development, is not pro-empowerment and all of that. When monies are lying there, you are not able to tap the monies and all of that. So that's the appeal that I'm making, Chair. And I think if we can take it in that spirit, we'll definitely be able to move and do something that can really change the lives of our people and deal with service delivery. We are the ruling party. We are the ones who are getting more knock than anyone else. On the ground there, it's very hard for us. But it's because of the fail of departments to coordinate their work and to deliver service to our people. So thank you very much.
Okay, there's a hand just behind you. If you don't mind, just the name. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Chair. Mbulelo Baha from COCT.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about that.
All right. Chairperson, I think I should kind of direct my input firstly to COCTA because I think it's the overarching department in the sense that services are provided in the municipalities and COCTA has an oversight on those. Look, I think for me, the presentation by COCTA has a lot of gaps, a lot of inconsistencies, and it's a clear indication that I think it was an exchange of emails more than sitting down and crafting a report to be presented to this committee. I think for me that's one observation that I made. Secondly, having said that, if you look at the boreholes issue, I think we've all, you know, made indications around it. In terms of pricing, there are inconsistencies. And I think that if you do procurement of a similar product, you get to a point of knowing what is the standard price for it. But we don't see that. And COCTA, again, is failing in the coordination of that factor, even though it's an indication on all the departments. Thirdly, the report itself is not standard. There are various aspects of the report where it would say, because this is ongoing, we are unable to quantify what has been provided. But there are some where, though it's ongoing, but there's quantification that is given. For me, I think a report should be able to say, to date, this is what has been done. Quantify what has been done. Because you can't say, we can't quantify it because it's ongoing. What is it that we have given thus far? For me, that's accurate reporting. That's what it's supposed to do. Thirdly, I see agriculture, for instance, in terms of drought relief interventions 2016-2017, there's no Gauteng. I'm not sure whether it means 2016-17, Gauteng, you know, does not have any challenges at all. But in the list that is in front of me, there are 8 provinces, and Gauteng is not one of those. Fourthly, there's an issue of MISA. MISA is, I think 2 weeks ago, we had a presentation by MISA where they were giving us their annual report. A lot that they presented was to the effect that MISA has decided to give back most of the services that they were doing to individual municipalities.
And I think the question that we're raising is whether there's capacity on the part of the municipalities to be able to provide those services. But I see here there's an indication that MISA is doing this, MISA is doing that, which is not consistent with what MISA presented to COPTA 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm saying people out there complain that the government is not providing services. People are complaining that there's a gap between government and what people need on the ground. Meanwhile, there's money that is allocated and that money is not used. Eventually, it's going to be returned to Treasury whilst people are crying for services. For me, you can't tell me that with the extent of drought that we've experienced, there's money that remains unused, that is likely to be returned, whilst people were crying for government interventions, for areas to be declared, to be declared disaster areas in terms because of drought, but there's money that is not used, which will ultimately be returned. For me, I think it's a disservice to this parliament that makes decisions, to this parliament that looks at what people need, and the government that is supposed to be providing those services. For me, I think that leaves a lot to be desired, Chairperson. Just to show respect to this parliament, I think it's important for decisions that are taken, legislations that are taken, that they are implemented and people benefit out of those, because the overall intention is to ensure that people of this country are served at all levels. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We have to give Mr. Bacher, because he was talking for the first time. All of us expected to talk shall not be 1 minute more. Mrs. Baker, Mr. Person, noted, Mama Paula. Straight to the point, no introduction, no...
Definitely, Chair. Chair, I do not accept the explanation of the inconsistency of the figures in these reports. Yes, it does say at the top, please note that the funds expended may have increased in the drought. Some of these have decreased by more than 50%. So don't tell me that that's the explanation. I actually feel insulted that that's the explanation that I've been given. This information is inaccurate and we deserve accurate reports. Secondly, the provincial and the municipal disaster grant funding, the response I got was that the amount was too little. 380 million rand is what those two funds. Am I correct? 380 million rand. And they're telling us that that was too little, so they decided not to use it. Chair, I am insulted again. What are we doing here? Chair, we need to seriously, seriously examine the answers that we are getting from these departments. These are totally, totally unacceptable. We are using money from DWS, for example, that we could have been using on projects, and yet we have disaster money that we are not spending, and we are told because it's too little. Unacceptable.
They've got an English word for that. Sulking. Mr. Paza?
Chairperson, I feel insulted by... If the department thinks that the members of parliament sit here, we don't have knowledge, we will give them a big surprise. Don't insult us to tell us that desalination is new technology. It's not new technology. It's old technology. That's one. Secondly, Mr. Walser, I just got a price for you now for a 10 megaliter plant from New Water, which they built in Cape Town, is 130 million rand, not 290 million rand you've paid. And there's other companies, Proxa, Prentex, I mean, we visit those places. We do oversight. Some of us sitting here are also engineers. We've got, when before we came to Parliament, we did other work. I started mechanical engineering. Don't think we are fools that you can give us information and we will just swallow the information and say thank you for this information. I can also get, I called New Water now to get a price, Mr. Bolger, 130 million rand for a plant you paid more than double for. You have not gone out on tenders on all four of those companies that I mentioned to you now that manufacture these plants in South Africa. You decided to import a plant for double the price. And Chair, really, I take exception of the way the department thinks that we are fools. I am not a fool. I can also go and Google. You can find all this stuff on Google. We are not stupid.
Mkaula? Sesiqeda manje.
Hayi, sesiqeda vele ayikho into esihlalele la sihlalo. No sihlalo. Ngibonge sihlalo. Lilonke nje mina bese ngicela ngokucabangela abantu abangabakhokhi bentela nabasithumile la eParliament. Lokhu sengikuthume ukucela kuCoctor. Ukuthi abantu niyazi ukuba bevele beyiphuzela amanzi abo omfula or iya noma ihosha noma iphethu lezi namanje abasaqhubeka beyiphuza kodwa manje kulokudlalwa ngabo la kuthathwa imali kuthiwa ziyakubona zibe ziya ey'ntweni ey'semaceleni engaqondene nazo bengizocela mina khokuthi ukuthi ke nibuyeleni lolu siko lakudala nihambele imifula iklino ngoba niyathola ukuthi abantu abaningi seGiyane bonke baningi abantu abamathole kubi basaphila ngamanzi emfula njengoba bengithi khona lento ibantu water sanitation ngicela ukuthi mina ngokwami nisize imfula baphuza yona manje okunye kokugcina ngoba enye into lana ekhona zithathwa lezi mali lezi okufanele ngabe ziyakubantu zithathwe ziso komabala nozi kokhisha ama award ngapha eceleni abantu abayitholi enze ezinye izinto nini ukuthi funakani zilandele ukuthi lezi mali ziyaya kubantu mazingayi yini indaba ngoba izimali ziningi ehambayo njengabantu baleko Nandoni Dam ikhona iNandoni Dam yenziwa iproject leyenziwa ngo 4 billion million kodwa still bakwazi abantu bakulanda ukuthola amanzi. Mina bengicela ukuthi balungiselenike imihosha baphuze.
Indluleli 1 minute.
Izinto ngiyabonga.
Chairperson, in people places like Giyane find themselves having to do without water. Places that have been affected of course would be your Nandoni Dam or huge sum of money were allocated for Nandoni Dam. And this project took off very well, but subsequently ran out of water. The installed pipe isn't adequately assisting the community. The public has to fetch water from the river, and the adversely affected places would be your Mbato village, Jivulani village, Mningisi village. And I have a suggestion that the powers that be, if they could just work on fixing the rivers, because we would know that traditionally people used to benefit or source water from the rivers. If the people in authority can work on fixing and cleaning those rivers, people can continue to survive through the rivers.
We are not going to allow you to respond. What is clearly happening here is that we have listened to the department of COCTA leading the disaster management coordination. We have rural development, agriculture department, water and sanitation department. We always take the National Treasury as having a direct interest as they deal with appropriation. What is clear is that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Among others, as we are to deal with issues of duplication. Among others, as we are to deal with issues of costs insofar as drilling of boreholes are concerned. You might also wish to raise a direct question whether or not you do not need to centralize these resources that deal specifically with drought relief. So as to avoid such duplications at provincial level, respective departments, and the costs varying from one department to another, whether or not you do not need to centralize these resources. Much as you are able to do it administratively and having to have COCTA leading that equation, whether or not you do not need to ring fence that drought relief program within such a coordination structure. It's one of those things that you might wish to think about. At the end, ours is to make sure that the state purse is not used recklessly. What I also do hear members to be saying is that in the next term, as we close this term end of March, in the next term we have to come together again so that we are able to get a much more coordinated report that talks about specific programs, so that we don't get to hear plans, we hear programs. At the end of the day, what brings us together here as members of parliament, together with yourselves, it is to improve the lives of our people for the better. We want to be directed by yourselves and say, in a certain area, there was no water. There have been such interventions. Today, as we speak, there is water. Today, as we speak, there is no drought. The animals are feeding. That's what we want to hear. You don't want to hear stories. You don't want to hear plans. Am I speaking on behalf of all of us members? So that's what we want to hear. We want to hear stories that begin to say, at Gatleng, that dam there, the silt in that dam, has to be dealt with and in preparation for future rains to come, so that there is proper storage of that water. That water is so much needed to those communities that are over 40,000 in that specific area. We want to hear a processed report through Dr. Tau that begins to say, there is that dent that we made in that community. As a result, the situation there of those communities are better off, or is better off. That's all what we want to hear. Nothing less and nothing more. We are not friends. What brings us together is work to improve the lives of our people for the better. And it is also calling on the ministers to be here as we discuss these issues, as we get these reports, as we get to hear such coordination. So that's what members are saying in a nutshell. Programs that are coordinated. think at this juncture, having to look and relook at our program, we shall then have to, perhaps also might be important for us as the respective members of the respective committees, having to meet alone as we prepare for such a session, so that we get a similar understanding, if not the same understanding, as what is it exactly that we expect out of these departments. I think that shall assist us, so that we have our own planning session. I think that that's the matter that we'll have to coordinate among ourselves. That is now meeting all by ourselves without the departments. Okay. Mom call. Ma, kulu mama mama kui mic, sorry.
Shalo. Ngizongemvume yakho baba ngiyabonga. Engifuna ukuphathisa ukhokta okunye okuthinta yona le nto engakhala ngakho njengoba ngithi ngifika la kwagogo uMajola ongawelwa indlu noma yinini uDave ngazi usekela minister uyalwazi uDabozo akhipha abantu bayobona i-toilet lakhe liyinkinga kaboni ngishindlu. Umlungu nje sasiye naye lapha wasaba ngisho ungena endlini kuyona. Nabantu abadla amanzi anendle basestenga kaJebhula. Zonke lezo zinto uyazazi uDJ lo ngemuva. Ayikaze zenzeke. Ngiyacela bafethu, eke nifundeni kusukumela abantu bakithi, ibuhlungu lento. Ngiyabonga.
Chairperson, with your permission, I have a case that I've reported to the minister previously and I'm sure that she is aware of it. The case that involves Gogo Majola, whose house could collapse in Durban, whose house could collapse any time from now. And I would like the DG perhaps to make a follow-up on this issue because it's an urgent matter. Thank you.
So, that's a 1090. Case I ought to 1090 at Kwabe. Gogo Aponsega Estam Gokwin.
Umam Kaula has all of those issues. And Umam Kaula would really wish to have an audience with the Department of COCTA. So as soon as we are done, COCTA will have to give an ear to Mam Kaula, whilst others have to rush off to other meetings. Members, officials of the department, and Jody, thanks for the attention and the meeting's adjourned. Until we meet on Friday.